Blog Talk Radio.
Please leave your message for...
Into exactly how we always been telling you, facts matters. It's a war on the indigenous people, and she will be the host at the top of the hour. But until then, we're going to take it. I'm your host, Dry Bones, and we are here to give it to you nice and raw, but with the facts, that's all. And we're going to give it to you. This is almost a wake-up call program. We told you a couple weeks ago, Pope Paul of the Vatican in May said that we're already in World War III. So war is always in our midst. And we're going to break this war down. Last week's program, we showed you that racism, the so-called white supremacy, is a 600-year-old construct, maybe 400 years, depending on if you want to go with the beginning of the so-called attack on the indigenous people. But today we're going to get a little deeper today because it is so much of an attack that is frightening. History has never, ever gave us the account of what took place with either any of these stories of Christopher Columbus and all that fraudulent. All of it. The characters, they don't look like the people who really did come. They don't have none of the suave Murano look that they all claim these people had. The copper color look that was already here. We got all kind of looks other than the actual looks. And so today's program was just a reiteration of what we've been saying, that history has been given to you like fake news on a regular dose. And today's program should wake you all up because guess what? It is not stopping. The lies and attack are not stopping. But I'm going to go back to what I had told y'all earlier because I got time before I bring her on. And we're going to do past, present, and future. We're going to deal with two time frames right now. These two time frames that proves that something and somebody lied to us. 2002 is one time frame we're going to deal how the so-called Seminole Indians of Florida and of Oklahoma broke apart in 2002. Bush was your president, the son, George W. And you find out that the government finally gave them a $56 million in 2002 settlement. And when you see what happened to that, it should be a shame and a reverberation from all across the lands, especially for the indigenous community. What a travesty and what a slap in the face. And the other part, where I'm going to start that one first, is in 2009. So each one of these is a 20-year-old to almost 20-year-old. And the president at that time in 2009 was Obama. Obama. So Bush and Obama are the two people that everybody, you know, we know the Bush family is nothing more than an oligarchical family. And they are not true Republicans. They're the rhinos or the neocons that they were called. Obama is actually a democratic socialist. So we dealing with two dichotomies that did nothing for any of the indigenous people on whatever level you want to call yourself. Most people are being lumped together in the indigenous world with the term African-American. Can't be. Can't be two continents. Can't be. Automatically stupidity. So right there is a wake-up call. So with today's program, I'm going to start with 2009. Because for this to be happening, I told you, for this to be happening, it's almost a travesty to people. Slavery is still going on. Still going on. On different formats. But to have a slavery that you said was a emancipation, I told you all these holidays was all made up. And for last week, the actual answer was Delaware. Last state to unratify slavery. Last state, not Texas, which you've been told. It was Delaware. Go to show you another misnomer. So Juneteenth is another, obviously, lie. Because Texas was not the last state to give any recognition that they didn't have slavery. Delaware was the last state to free any blacks. And when you find out that date, now you can find out that was in the late, way after Civil War that Delaware decided. So we know that your favorite president that many of you voted for comes out of Delaware. So kind of ironic, ain't it? But we're going to get the show rolling. Now, today's program is dealing with facts. So if you can't handle the facts, this is not the program for you. The facts remain that in 2009, a documentary had came out And I told you it was called Cotton Picking, Truth About the Plantation. The scenery is Mississippi, the same state that the guy who's on the January 6th committee, Benny Thompson, whatever his name is actually, this is district. In 2009, they got this woman who I give a lot of courage to all you sisters today. We got Chief Warhorse coming on the top of the hour. But this sister may have passed now. I'm not sure on her age, but it's Mae Lewis Miller. And Mae Lewis Miller grew up in chattel slavery, working on a plantation, in a white southern plantation in the 60s. The 60s. Now, right there should be a wake-up call to all you civil rights individuals. Because at the time of the civil rights marching and going on, and Schwerner and Cheney and Emmett Till, that's why Emmett Till didn't have no problem with his people getting off. Now they got the lady now who did the so-called whistling at, claimed she was a victim of her own crazy husband, forcing her to go along with the shit. So you know that's a made-up. But this state, the state that I just told you all about, had the nerves. The nerves. I mean, unbelievable nerves. To get away with the murders and to have slavery that was still in the realm of the actual chattel slavery. It's almost unheard of that this is happening. It's almost unheard of. And like I told you, it's so much foolishness behind it that it makes no sense for anybody to deny that you marching around the country in states like Mississippi and Alabama got full-fledged slavery that you would see in Mandingo or you would see in Roots at the 60s level. So something dark and sinister is also permeated. But I have to play this first so you can understand this is going on with Obama time. And guess what they were trying to get? Reparations. Now, we got two groups trying to get money. We got the indigenous Native Americans who are getting cut out of $56 million of Seminole. And we're going to get it. And we got a history that's never been told of one of the greatest slave revolts in the history of America. Never told. No Hollywood, no Denzel Washington making no movies on this. Nobody's trying to give you a full-fledged account of the actual takings of the Seminole. And why did they promote Harriet Tubman when clearly, Florida was the most freest of the territories? So somebody, again, is lying. And Chief was one of the first to put that lie to rest when she said we were under the 31st parallel. That told a lot. And today, I'm going to play for you an account of why I tell you all that your history is so fraudulent, so fake. It's just like your news, full of it. Until you wake up and find out why some people told you that the Native Americans did not look like her, you should have picked up on their Native Americans. Indigenous Americans, because that was your wake-up call. Listen carefully. Slavery still exists.
Imagine you and your family living in this barn, forced to live like animals and with animals. No heat, no electricity. None of the things we commonly take for granted. This is the case of one family held as slaves up until the 1960s. We found this barn at Grange Hall Road and MS Highway 568 near Vicksburg, Mississippi in July 2009. This is the true life story of former slave Mae Louise Miller.
Well, you know, I came from very poor family, and we was in slavery. We didn't have food, clothes, shoes. We really didn't have much of nothing. And the clothes we had was a Kokosite. Each one of us had a Kokosite with three holes cut in it, and that was your clothes. Your shirt, pants, and underclothes, or whatever you want to call it, dress. We had no shoes. We had the kill, what we eat. We didn't have a stove. We really didn't even have a house. We lived, laid on the grass, on the dirt. The hay was our bed, and we covered with the hay was our kibble. We laid with snakes. We ate snakes. We ate the crickets. We ate the worms. We ate the birds. We ate the bird eggs. We ate the rabbits. We ate the frogs. We was just kind of like Tarzan. Whatever was there come in front of you, that was your meal, if you caught it. And that was a motto. It was more than me, but I don't call names. But if we caught a worm, each one of us took a bite of that worm. If we caught a cricket, although you think a cricket is dope, but we broke it into pieces that each one of us can have a piece of the cricket. If we caught a fish that done washed on the bank side, whatever, when we bit it, everybody took a bite.
President Abraham Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation in 1863. By 1865, the 13th Amendment, abolishing slavery, had become constitutional law in most states. And in 1865, Lincoln became the first U.S. president to be assassinated. During Reconstruction, most southern states ratified the 13th Amendment. However, they also put in place a series of laws that severely restricted the rights of African Americans, called the Black Codes. Mississippi was the first state to institute the Black Codes, and its legislators didn't ratify the 13th Amendment until March 16, 1995. Johnny Thomas is mayor of Glendora, Mississippi. Thomas also grew up in slavery.
Everybody else was in charge of you. That was a big part of me looking at how we had to go to the owners to get anything. They had their own plantation store. That's where we had to eat from. That's where my mom was always in debt. We never had anything, you know, growing up. That was a tough time.
Now, what were you telling me about this area?
Oh, well, I was just talking about this being a plantation type of community, and pretty much in the shape that it's in because individuals hoped that it went back to the cotton field as such.
What do you mean by plantation type?
Well, we was created around plantations. This entire area here was pretty much farmers, and now they are pretty much mechanized and corporate farming. Therefore leaving individuals here to fend for themselves and hopefully to keep the status quo. When I say status quo, keeping individuals without. It is their mission, it seems, that this community stay poor as it was in the past. I'm a part of the Swan Lake. The Swan Lake community was owned by the Floats. And the Floats owned the plantation in Swan Lake as well as in Glendora.
In July of 2009, not only did we interview May Louise Miller, who was a former slave until the 1960s, but we uncovered a present-day plantation. We're concealing the identities of those living on this plantation to protect them from any repercussions.
If you had housing in the city, would you move? Where you would pay like $70 a month?
Well, as long as it's around where I stay, mm-hmm. Yeah, I can do that.
You know, we couldn't get it on, get them to say anything about the owners on camera, but they explained to us off camera exactly what was going on, and they said to us if we were able to get them off of the plantation, that they would give us the full story on camera.
Human rights activist and writer Dick Gregory explains the mentality of present-day slavery.
And so you sit and you look at a mentality. And so when I looked at that film, I was thinking about my mother.
They would bring my mother to the house. And when they bring my mother to the house, one of us would have to go with my mother. So the master said. And so this would have been particular time that I had to go with my mom. So they raped my mom. And when it came to me, I was sitting there crying because, when you don't know what's going on, I was sitting up there crying. And so the lady said, they coming to me. So the master's wife said to him, and the other brothers or whoever they were. And she said, and they were sort of looking, and she said, oh, no. No, honey, no. No. And she said, she's not even a heifer yet. I didn't learn what that word was to over in the 70s. And she said, she's not even a heifer yet. She's just a yearling. You can't. But they gagged my mouth, and they raped me just like they did my mama. And there I was laying in that pile of blood, a little bit of girl, didn't know what to do. And his wife had to clean me up. But that never stopped. And I remember telling my mom, if you go tell that old nigger what happened here today, we's gonna kill everybody.
We took this issue of present-day slavery pennage to Capitol Hill. We contacted members of Congress to get a reaction, but were not surprised when they said they would, but never set up a time to be interviewed. Radio.
This is in 2009. Obama is the president.
Wow. And you black people today are wondering why we in this situation. We cannot be any dumber at this present time and to believe all these lies from history until now. So that's why we got to go to war. And we got the war goddess, Chief War Horse, will be us with us at the top of the hour. But y'all got to come on this one. 2009, she was raped at 5 years old, all the way to the 60s. We talking about King and them running around the South. Finding out the South, the North is worse than the South. I just told you Delaware was last. So Juneteenth, another farce. Big lie. Big lie. They got you thinking it's Texas. Nowhere near. They got you thinking Dixieland is in the South and it's in New York. Ain't that amazing? Dixieland. So you've been twisted, bamboozled, just like Malcolm said. And I'm going to bring y'all in right now because at the top of the hour, we're going to throw fire out there. How can we listen to this? Benny on the... He worried about the insurrection of January 6th. There was no real insurrection by any means. Not a bullet was shot other than the Capitol cops. So how is that an insurrection? I think so. But he's deflecting because he know the real war was on his state. You got to be ashamed. But see, black folks don't have a problem watching these buffooneries and thinking, oh, it's okay. That's why you're going to pay.
You're going to pay dearly for sitting back and doing nothing. That's for all of us out there listening in radio land. Let's open up the mics. Somebody tell me how this could be happening. Then they went to Congress. This is an actual documentary. It went to Congress. Dick Gregory knew all about it. He said himself, he is in shock, yet you can't stand with Obama, can you? Knowing that they claim reparations was coming, boy, oh boy, how foolish can we be? Let's go to 3364661. This is unbelievable. Probably going on in your state. You don't even know it.
Hey, you hoodoo, man. My thing is, all the Negroes that was reporting that and filming that, what they do? Did they get them people out from down there, man?
They got her out.
That's what we're married.
No, they got her out. But you heard what they said. The people were scared to tell. So that's unbelievable. In 2009, you scared to say you were slaves. Holy shit!
It's a lot of scared niggas, man. Scared niggas get you killed, man.
Oh my god! Can you imagine that?
Yes, sir. But I'm gonna tell you a story about Georgia, man. It's not too far from the Guidestone. It's a town called Oscarville. Okay, it's much like Rosewood and Tulsa, where they come and Mississippi, and you know where they come up with that lie. You know, white girl mess around with a black dude, and then they get caught. Then she gonna holler that rape word.
Right.
And so that's what happened up here in Georgia, man. This was in 19. It was a small town called Oscarville, Georgia. All black town, 1,100 people there. So what they did, they set him up. So they hung him, and they took him to Atlanta. And then they bust in the damn jail, got him, hung him. Then check this out. They burned down the whole town, scared all the Negroes. I mean, it was only 100,000 Negroes, but about 2,000 or 3,000 damn devils come up there and shot up the whole town, run everybody out the town. Then they burned the town. All right, then the town sat there for about 20 years. It all burnt out. Then they kicked us out. Then they flooded out the town to make a lake called Lake Lanier, man.
I was there. Lake Lanier. His house is right now.
Okay.
Lake Lanier. His house is right
okay.
now.
Okay, yeah.
Right now. Let me finish out with it.
So anybody that go in Lake Lanier, your ass going to get drowned. Boats catch on fire for their energy, man. So I tell all black people, don't go to Lake Lanier. Don't do it. Don't even get in the water, man. Because your ass will get drowned. You know what I'm saying? Because
I did get in the water, and we did have a good time. Unfortunately, I learned that when I was in the water. We didn't know nothing. Okay. I didn't know, you know, I ain't from there. When I got in that, right now, they on fix Lake Lanier. They got a water park going on. They got Margaritaville was being built. They got all kind of crap going on in Georgia. Now, I'm going to say this. When I found out it was flooded on purpose, everybody, purposely flooded.
That's right.
Purposely flooded. Unbelievable. But when I learned that it was the area, it was like, damn, they actually flooded out of town, and it was amazing. Also,
yes,
CDC is there. We got the CDC in Georgia, everybody. CDC, the Center for Disease Control.
Yep.
We got to ask some questions. Why are we getting a real report from what's really going on in the CDC? If all these, and these black folks got jobs there, everybody, don't fool yourself. Just go to Georgia.
Yeah.
You will see the CDC got a bunch of blacks on the payroll. So I don't want to hear about white folks.
Yeah.
Can't talk about white folks.
Yeah, because I worked there one time.
Yeah.
I worked there one time doing some work. That's, and I could tell them, I guess I'm an impact. I go somewhere and feel that the energy real or fake or bullshit. Just like Lake Lanier, I went there one time because it's right down the street from my house, man. I went there one time and tried to catch some fish. I ain't catch them. I ain't feel good. I said, what the fuck? I ain't feeling this. I ain't feeling right. You know what I'm talking about? Till I found out what the deal is. Then I just found out a couple of days ago about Oscarville, man.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I looked it up and found out, man, I got to tell the people, man.
There's areas in Florida. Pohokee.
Yes, sir.
Y'all haven't been to Pohokee and all these other areas up in Florida. It's a different vibe there too. It's almost like you're going into a twilight zone of time.
Yep.
Again,
yeah.
No state. Think about everybody's lying. Go ahead.
Yeah, let me tell you about my P. Hokus. They got sugar cane plantation there, man.
Sure.
Where they were bringing, had slaves doing their sugar, man, with them sugar cane. So they half of them still fucked up in their mind, man.
Pahokee and Lake Wells and all that and over there. Clue, yeah, all that over there.
Yeah.
Now, I'm gonna just say this to people. This area, if you ever traveled any part of the United States, everybody, there's a lot of farmland with these beautiful houses on. You'd be like, what kind of jobs they got in the middle of nowhere? All right, let's get some more calls. Put yourself on mute right quick. I'm gonna take some more calls.
Hey.
All right. Go ahead. I got you. 6661. Let me get you in there. I mean, modern day. This is in the 60s, man.
Hey, 60s. Hey, brother. Great dawning. I could see it happening because I remember myself personally when I was coming back home on a little leave or whatever. I was coming back from basic training up in Knox and whatnot, and I was on a Greyhound bus and coming through. We were coming through the side. We were going through like Alabama. And the Greyhound bus driver, you know, he said, well, you know, I know we've been driving for a while and we're going to stop off in the next town and get something to eat and shit. And so when we pulled in, if this shit didn't look like Mayberry, I don't know what the fuck going on. And it was 89, and you figure like, well, damn, from whatever they say, 14 or 16, whatever, that up until 89, you should be advanced. And so we were getting ready to stop off, and he said, well, I'm going to go in and see the landlady, you know, see what's going on and get her whatever. And he got off or whatever, and he went, I guess, spoke to whatever, whoever, and they told him, said, well, if you got, you know, any colors on there, keep it moving. So he came back on. And he said, well, ladies and gentlemen, well, we're going to have to go to another town. They don't have the facilities. But that was just code word for like, if you got some niggas on there, keep it moving. So from there until 2009 or whatever, when they found these families or whatever, I could believe that it may still be some people going on with slavery and don't even know it.
Now, it's like a movie.
Yeah,
it's definitely
like a movie.
Yeah, like,
I just watched Django fully because, you know, I already, you know, we could get the gist of what's going on. But as I examined Django or whatever, and they were talking about, especially with Samuel Jackson part, that shit got me ticked off, man. That was the perfect example of what we have going on today with this boule and whatnot, but they was like, nigga riding the horse. He had to tell him, say, look, man, he free or whatever, and they just didn't get it. So, I mean, hey, I could see it.
Well, I think about it. The movie 12 Years a Slave, when he was educated in Washington, D.C., they seen a group of blacks that they had said, these are niggas. They actually had the station. They were considered a zombie state. Of people. So I'm looking at, I want black folks who's on this line to think about this now. What you would be? Would you be a rebellious person? Would you be a go-along person? Or would you be downright zombie? You best to ask that what's in your psyche, because that's what's coming
to you.
You could
see the psyche of what's going on politically, because, I mean, common sense, and this is where the pavement or whatever, the concrete meet the pavement. And like the brothers say from Brother D and other brothers, man, it would be on that point trying to save people, because you could tell them, you could bring the evidence, you could and you could show them, see, and they won't go no further. And
well,
we just at that
people,
point now, bro.
We are awakening. Saving is like a church religious thing. I think we got to...
Man, awakening.
No, but a person could awaken at different times. Like, we like setting off a charge, because we're not going to be able to, like... But I think when people say we're saving people, it gets that religious connotation, like, oh, we doing a religious thing. No, because the religious people are some of the biggest zombies out there. I think religion
and politically.
Politically a zombie.
And politically as well.
Jack Bauer. I agree.
You know,
now,
you could tell them.
You could tell them what?
Jack Bauer.
Now, let me ask something, because, again, we see this. You see it in different states. Right now, I'm talking to everybody out there. I read, you know, I go through a lot of information. Y'all send it, and I'll go through it. I just see a cat call himself King Yahweh. I ain't making this up. I think he got properties in the Bahamas and stuff. There's a lot of people with information out there that can definitely be of enlightenment, or it could be a deception, based off what is out there. The fact that our people don't even know that many of your counties still is under chattel slavery, based on the fact it's called involuntary servitude. And you always say, well, we got to go to jail. That's the only way you could be a slave today, is under the penal system. And based off the penal system, now you see anarchy coming, because according to what law is based on, if we let the so-called penal system go down with crazy people coming out of jail now, don't you think now that the prison system, which is actually a slave system, you think they send out their zombies to do the works? Because it's like everybody who's doing crazy stuff is coming out of jail.
I said that earlier when they first started that nonsense with the shooting. I said, you know, it's Manchurian season. It is Manchurian season, and it's at a high level. And you know, and it's a lot. It's gonna be a lot of order out of chaos. I mean, chaos and order as well. And that's the nature nurture thing. And they just going back to the playbook, and they're doing rituals at a high level.
At a high level. There you go. Let's get some more calls.
At a high level. They beyond where we at. They operating, right, bro. We speculate.
They operate. Right. There you go. Good words to put in there. Put yourself on mute. I'm gonna go to 7696 because we got Chief Warhorse coming on high at 11 o'clock. Go ahead. Go ahead, Dry Bones.
Good day to everybody. Good day.
You got the floor.
Hey, I just wanted to comment on that situation with that sister. If you look at how, if you ever paid any attention to how, if you from the neighborhood or anywhere, that's just like you pimping. That's just like, you know what I'm saying, how a pimp can have a woman go out to work,
mm-hmm.
bring all her money to him, and
mm-hmm.
facilitate. See, that part of that slavery, it ain't never stopped. You know what I'm saying? You got whole families that you think they'd appear to have good jobs. They'll have the whole cars. They'll have a whole life, but they'll be working for a company they family been working for forever. You know what I'm saying? So that's the history what people have to get noted. They talk about it on a lot of these little shows, like, for instance, that Queen Sugar, whatever little movie that was out.
Yes. Go ahead. You're right.
Yeah, I'm just saying, and see, that's a part of that sharecropping where you was thinking that there was the black people had got to the point where they ain't even know where they was at no more. It's like, how they got us thinking that we from Africa, everybody from Africa. You know what I'm saying? The only place where a brown or a red or a black, so-called black man comes from Africa, which I can't believe that. You know what I'm saying? Because
We just did the show last year. It's made up. They said, hey, let's just call everybody African. They made this shit up. We can prove it. Facts work. Go ahead.
Yeah. But that's the whole thing with the slavery thing. Basically, if you wake up and go to work for somebody else, in a sense, just like the Bible says, you work for somebody only for a time to get your own.
Then
you work for yourself. Then you work for yourself, and then you might have people that work for you. I'm just saying, you got some people that ain't going to – they're going to say, hey, I've worked for you for the rest of my life. I'm going to have my whole family work for you.
That's a fact.
You know what I'm saying?
That's what's said in that program. That was said in that program. It's called bondage.
See,
being bonded, everybody. Being bonded. Go ahead.
Yeah. And see, back in the day, people had fear still. People had fear where you can be the strongest worker. You'll do everything. You could be smart and everything, but it's a certain fear that was instilled in you to where she was able to sit there and watch her mother get raped, and they raped her, and she didn't say nothing.
Right.
See, I'm just saying, you done heard of situations where you got a chick, like you got 30 people run a train on in the neighborhood, even white, black, all type of chicks. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying, I've heard of situations.
No, it's real. I'm glad you brought. Hold on, let's bring that to perspective. Because think about it, it's like another high level of pimping. Because basically, you hit every avenue. We are seeing iceberg slams. I've seen people in my own life have people do shit. You're like, how the hell he get to do that? And even yourselves who are online, you don't know what you. I don't know none of what y'all do. But yes, it is like a power to use a person. Energy to manifest your own destiny. Now, that is something that you have to say. We take it on a big scale by saying, oh, the Vatican manifests destiny. Let's just bring it to the household scale. Don't we got people like that that we could actually say if was given power, they would have us as slaves right in your own backyard? Is that something you could say? Give me your analogy on that perspective.
For sure, because I'm just saying you got to put people in their place. If you the boss or whatever, how you want to look at it, you got to go and sift through and see what the fuck you got and what you working with. You get your ass over here. You know what I'm saying?
And that's
y'all good over here.
Look, now, I've been pimped. I tell people all the time, I've been pimped. I know what it is. So y'all can talk a lot of shit, be a lot of shit. But see, we know what it is to give a whole damn checkup to people who are saying they're going to do these magnificent things. So pimping is real. I tell anybody, I told my own family members, especially my beloved ones, I say, you could be pimped because I was. You could be manipulated because I was. So I have to show people that I ain't scared to tell you that these things happen to you in your self-awareness. Now, how long you let that self-awareness last in you is your major going to be your problem, not mine. Now, let's go somewhere else with this. St. Louis jamming. St. Louis is actually the gateway, y'all. Gateway of energy. That's where the first world fairs was at. That's where they said the ancient dwellings was at. A lot of stuff going on, man. So keep yourself with me. We're going to be talking off air because we already got the setup. It's already done. I'm going to tell you where I need to be, and you tell me where I need to stay so I can be safe. Now, let's go somewhere else with this. Native America. I'm getting Chief Warhorse ready, y'all. I'm getting some of y'all in line before we go to Chief Warhorse. Chief Warhorse, hope you're listening. I'm about to bring you in high noon at the 11 o'clock hour. I just want to know, if y'all can hear what the lady said they eat, she said we ain't have no stove. They ate the shit raw. So that go to show y'all all full of shit about diets and all that. That lady still lives eating raw food, something that you ain't even going to think about doing. So all that shit y'all been talking about, food and shit, get the hell out of my face. You got to be hardcore when you're going to eat a bird with the feathers on like they did. A fish that floated on the banks. She said, we ain't got nothing. We all share. Now, even in their most desperate hour, look how they shared with each other. You don't even share today. You got all kind of lavish shit.
Hey, dry bones.
Go ahead.
Check out some of those torture cases where you see where people get tortured for some time. You know, there were some people around here. Just say, for instance, you know, they go through the same stuff. People have them eating feces and, blood and everything.
Yeah.
And they still survive through it.
Right. Just a
dry. Yeah, they survive through it. You know what I'm saying?
So all y'all lying.
I don't know if they have health conditions or not, but I'm just saying, people make it through that stuff.
Right. Now,
you know
that's
what I'm
point.
Saying?
That's
so,
my point. Your hardest condition would adapt your mind through the body to adapt to it. Now, you already, y'all, we ain't going to get into that now to the high noon when we get to the Helios Park. We're going to go celestial. We already know you eating people. That ain't even a problem right now. We trying to figure out how long y'all want to keep eating like this. Now, this woman told you they ate frogs, snakes, raw. Ain't no cooking. raw. Where they, that automatically means they had a system of learning how to kill animals and don't have no fire, don't have no stuff. That's some hardcore, indigenous, innate, spiritual shit that keeps you alive. See, regardless how dumb you is, your spiritual ineptitude to not die will make you eat anything to live. Y'all better think about that one, because he did make a book called Eat to Live, even though he wasn't eating shit raw. All right, let me go to some more calls. 1-300, put yourself on mute. I'm going to bring more, every many calls got, because high at 11 o'clock, we're going to war with the War Council, because y'all don't know, they declared war on the indigenous by a law. And I'm going to see, I wish y'all like to make money. Y'all don't even like to gamble, man. What, I don't know. I thought y'all would be loving to get into this game. Shit, we could have had $1,000 round if y'all was really into this shit. But think about it. I already showed you Juneteenth was fake. Y'all have lost a lot of money on that one. We lost a lot of money on that one, for sure. Because y'all thought it was Texas. It's Delaware. Let's go to 1-300.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. What's going on? Grab on.
What's going on?
Hey, great topic today, man. Great topic, you know. And everything's going to lead back to our sovereignty, you know, our economic freedom. And a lot of people get it twisted, and a lot of people don't quite understand why the repairs are owed to a certain group that can trace their lineage back to the 1870 census. So that's why a lot of people are working against the indigenous people here, you know, because at the end of the day, we're going to be the rulers of this North Star. And I want to take the family back to the Washington Post. There was an article about Obama, and it talked about, like, I heard you bring up Obama, and how Obama was, he was arguing against reparations, and this article pretty much breaks down the simple fact, because Obama was not a descendant of the enslaved people in America. Technically, his mother can trace her lineage back to Jefferson Davis, which who was a Confederate.
Right.
So if he would pursue reparations, Obama would actually have to pursue his own family members. And, you know, come on, family, let's keep it above 100. You're not going to persecute your own mother.
And
so,
Kamala Harris got to persecute her father for the Jamaica side that they know. They said,
correct.
He actually said, so something wrong right here was going on with this story, y'all. But go ahead, keep it going, bro. Keep it going.
Correct. And, you know, he was going back and forth with Mitch McConnell, because Mitch McConnell, his family traced back, they were the owners of slaves. So, in other words, Obama and Mitch McConnell had something in common. So, bro,
right.
It's good that you are chopping up this game today, man. And all I can do is tell Joe Biden cut the check, man, because, you know, all this going to come out, man. And when people really, really get a real lesson of their history and this history is revealed, man, it's going to be a lot of folks ready to draw blood out of us. So,
Now, hold on. Let me get you, because, you know, you in that Central Florida. We mentioned some areas. I know when I rolled through some areas up in that Central Florida to the middle, bro, it take you back on some spots. What's your take on how you grew up seeing all that? What's your take? Because you in the heart, baby.
Listen, bro, we right here in the heart with all the towns that were named after forts. That lets you know fort, when a town has a fort on the actual first prefix of the town name, that means a battle took place. And the Black Seminoles, we've been in Florida, man. We've been running this thing, man. In my county, you still have indigenous tribes that don't even associate with society. They live in the woods. They have their own land. And I'm talking about a 30-minute ride from where I am now. So, family, it's a lot of history that has been hidden that's about to be revealed. And, family, there's no love lost. If you married into the indigenous people, that's cool. But all of these people, because, see, we got to understand the repair is for the American Holocaust. It's not for racism just because you're a victim of racism. No, nobody don't care about no racism. It's about what has been taken from the indigenous Americans, the copper color people of North America.
Stay with me on that one. Now, I'm going to say this for all y'all listening. See, one thing about Dry Bones, Facts Matter, when you watch the whole cotton picking truth about the plantation, Professor Ogletree's in it, This is doing what they was doing. I told y'all about this because I was in it. I'm not, I don't just don't talk shit. I be about the shit. I was in Cobra. I was in all that. Giving dudes, going to meetings, getting petitions. And Dr. Ogletree, at the time, I'm running around trying to get petitions with Kerry Meeks and all them shits down here in South Florida. That's when I found it was a game. And I started to get, because of the people I was around, we started saying to ourselves, wait a minute, man, we're giving a lot of money, man. A lot of people giving money, like, you know, because, shit, we done gave $100 to the, you know, all these damn, you know, we go do this because we thinking, but y'all mishandling the money. And see, y'all think that's because you black, you're going to be saved because, oh, I'm black. Nah. It says you will be found wanting on the scales of my eye because you yourself have put yourself in servitude. You thought Django was a joke? Django is a symbolic of mystic information about the Freedmen's Bureau versus the DOS. The DOS for you. The DOS role. See, it's two roles here. We're going to get into that later. Let me get some more callers. Stay with me. Also, the financial gain. I told the indigenous people, I'm not even that bright. Like I told you, I might be a star, but it ain't the brightest one. And if you don't grow marijuana on your land that was given the first decree, because you had to do it by the Arabs' decree. So if you look at what the Arabs demanded, which you don't do, you don't look up what they asked for, since they are the ones with the pirate sail ships that need canvas to go through the stream of the so-called system of weather. So I don't know if we understand what's going on, but we about to. We got 10 minutes before we go to war. I'm going to get as many calls I can right now, make it brief, make your statement. You got about a two-minute call, 7472. 2 minutes. Go ahead.
Greetings, dry bones. Greetings.
Brother Klein, when you gonna come, keep going, but when she come, I want you to talk to, because I consider y'all the elders. You are also, go ahead. I want you to talk to Chief Boys.
Excellent point. But, you know, you said Delaware was the part of the last slave freed. That, I think that's what you were sharing, the 1865 instead of Juneteenth. No.
Right.
It was the state of Mississippi ratified the 13th Amendment February 19, 2013.
Yeah, that's them for that. Yeah, go ahead, finish.
That's what they did. The 13th Amendment. They ratified the 13th Amendment in Delaware, but the last state that ratified it was Mississippi, February 19, 2013. So in the state of Mississippi, slavery still on their books. And the thing is, you have to look at something that is still in existence, because look at how many felons they are. 13th Amendment says neither slavery nor indentured servitude except if you're duly convicted of a crime. If you're convicted of a crime and you become a felon, you're a slave of the state. The part that you have to understand is that we as individuals is born free. When a cop pull up to the thing and says, you know the position, and put you up against the wall, here's a man that can put his hands all through your private parts, peel up your body, and rape you physically with your clothes on and tell you to go take a walk. When did we get free? You know the position. We hear that constantly. You know the position, and we go stand up against the wall, put our hands up, and let a man run his hands all through your body. That's physically raping you in public. Yeah.
And if y'all ever went to prison or any type of jail, if y'all been arrested, y'all know they do. If they want to be nasty, they got permission to do a lot of shit to you.
What do they do when intake? Bend over and call. Bend over, pull your cheeks apart, and call. How much of a slave can you be if somebody tell you to bend over and cough, looking up your butt?
I'm with you on that one. I ain't going to even debate you on that. You are 100. Now, let me ask you, though, because you've been saying it. You've been vindicated so many times. You told everybody Georgia is a penal colony.
Georgia Historical Quarterly, June 1932. The guy who wrote the article was Fant, and it says in the bottom paragraph on page 1, it says Georgia was founded as a penal colony of white supremacy between South Carolina and the Spanish owned state of
yeah,
Florida.
There you go. Now see,
one of the original signers of the Declaration of Independence, Gwinnett, Buddy Gwinnett. That's the county I live in, man. He original signer of the Declaration of Independence, one of these 13 colonies right here in Bygard, Redneck, Georgia, man. So Kwame,
right,
you right on
but
the money.
Georgia was founded as a penal colony because
penal
what they
yep.
were doing, and they had on the books right, in 1732 that they said nice. They did not allow blacks or Africans in the state of Georgia as it was founded until 1735 when all the penal people, the Europeans they were sending over here, kept dying. They had to get us because they couldn't grow and survive here. Because the indigenous people of the Cherokee Nation, and Petey.
Now, what about them? Now, let's go there. Because, again, that's why I say stay up. You're going to be with us when Chief Warhurst come on, I want to get y'all both perspectives on some of this. Because, again, we're still saying Spanish. Spanish is not looking like, they got that look suave-y. They got that, that brown, tannish looking skin. They coming over here, they kind of look like, I think they probably had the Latin language that is harmonic, and we're going to get into that at high noon. Now, Brother Clark, I'm going to tell you something. You brought us in a hell of a conversation I had with people, because people listen to the show, and they was telling me, now, you said something last week that was so profound that at the high noon, we got to go into that on the alien side, because when you said we was the biblical core, we all eat from all everything the woman had, I started looking at, I looked that up. I said, man, this is amazing. Maybe, just maybe what he said would be vindication of everything, because whatever it is that they want that we eat off as these embryo cells from the woman is so dynamic that they want it today. It is even a delicacy in some parts of the world. So we're going to get into that at high noon. So remember that. Let me get some more calls. We have 4 minutes. I got to get a couple more calls. So hang tight. Brother Kwame, Chief Warhurst will be talking later today. I want y'all to get into this one, but it's going to be heavy duty. Because Georgia, part of that history of the Seminole. Oh, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. Now, we ain't got much long. I'm going to try to get y'all, give me briefly, because we want to bring her in. And I want to play this clip to bring in the Seminole power that this John Horse and many others had that was not given. I'll go to 8586. Hate to say quickly, but 1 minute.
Hey, Dry Bones, how you doing, man?
Go ahead.
Hey, real quick, man, I got three names to drop for your listeners. Melville Herkovic, I might be saying his name wrong, but check his name out. And Walter Plicker. Plecker, and Alice Hrdlicka, that's Hrdlicka, and just check it out. That's all I got.
Say it one more time, because, you said it fast. Say it one more time, because I didn't even say
okay.
It one more time.
Three names. Melville.
Melville.
Herkovic is
Herkovic.
Yeah, yeah, and Walter Plecker and Alice Hrdlicka, Hrdlicka.
There you go. Thank you.
And I yield.
That.
Thank you.
Thank you, man. Go to 3318. 3318. Go ahead. Hate to
picking up the goddamn soil and shipping it back to where they shipped it to.
Okay, he's doing he talking to UPS.
Right on, man. That was real. He vindicated on somebody.
He talking to UPS, man. They sent the wrong package, man. That's what's happening. He said, send it right back. That's a UPS. That's an either Amazon problem, not our problem.
I know he woke grandma up, man. Grandma that's be listening. Told us gonna be arguing. I know grandma woke up then, man.
Oh my goodness. All right, let's set this up, y'all. Let's set the stage up for sister. Sister, I'm gonna play this clip. If y'all listening, I'm gonna call you in a few to bring you here. So listen to the phone call as this tape play. I want y'all to know the history is unbelievable, man. We can only be vindicated if we actually have a factual foundation that you can physically see with that naked eye, not with universe or metaverse or you should be able to physically see the foolishness. Go ahead, make it brief, man. You interrupt. What is it?
Yeah, brief. got to learn our history, or we can just forget about our future.
Yeah, well, that's obvious. Sankofa is real. And those of you who understand that, just take a look back and say, I just showed you, we ain't that far back from that 2009. But the history that I tell people all about that they won't make a movie about is the, and I got to give Dr. Claude Anderson, who I first heard about John Hurst when he came here to Florida. And I said to myself, man, that's an amazing story that no one wants to make anything, no history show about it, nothing, nothing, nothing. Now, one thing is based off the Seminoles of the so-called era where they were fighting the United States government, which was maritime patrol.
Reed Nasheed is putting together a Black Maroons documentary right now. He's doing a lot of filming in Florida to Reed Nasheed.
Well, so Reed Nasheed's been in a lot of stuff, and he in a lot of stuff, too. I mean, again, I tell people all the time, I'd rather you even go to the Seminoles. But see, I'm going to say this to the other thing, too. You want to hurt the Seminoles, don't gamble for a week. Or you want to hurt any Native indigenous tribe, don't gamble for a week. And you will make an impact. These are the simplest things to do without even shooting a gun. But see, again, I'm going to tell you about, like I tell you before, we can make all kind of shit, regardless of what anybody say. The indigenous people somehow told your asses, y'all ain't indigenous. And then y'all snubbed yourself up. Now, I ask anybody, I tell all y'all listeners, because I'm about to get hot now. Y'all maybe throw some gasoline. I'm about to go to the real one now. I said, well, how the hell? If they able to get gambling, get the United States government to give the Seminoles $56 million for going through all this stuff we've been hearing about, having seminars, making movies, documentaries about. You just had a documentary about a woman eating a bird, ain't got us nowhere yet. So I don't really care about these documentaries personally right now at this point in time because it ain't stopping nothing, making somebody else rich.
Hey. I can show you a picture of my grandmama from Live Oak, Florida. She's a Seminole, man.
Right. Yeah, hold on, but I'm going to ask you to mute yourself and don't come back on until I bring Chief Warhorse out. That's what I'm asking all y'all to do. Don't come back on until she comes because we're setting it up for her. Because we got all this indigenous people talk that y'all always been talking. But yet you was allowed, no lawyers. Where the lawyers at? Dr. Ogletree. All these people y'all been giving energy to, claiming y'all they doing something. I told you, bro, until you get really pimped, when you give a full trial and you really doing, you move yourself. Y'all, basically, this is baby school talk. None of y'all are going to actually join on to anything that's going to have to take your money on a regular basis. But see, our people just told you, they ate birds and shit together. Just so, see, that's why I say this is where the disconnect at. Because you could be at your lowest point, that's where you're going to have to go, Black people, to your lowest point. You going there anyway. It ain't by me talking this. It's by facts. Facts show you going to your lowest point so you can wake up. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. And when you realize that you're going to your lowest point, that's when you're going to wake up. Ain't going to be while you're able to still get eaten, get gas, and talk shit. Ain't going to happen like that. Don't happen. It don't never happen like that. It happened with a calamity that you should know is coming. You just don't know where and when. So we're going to show you the first calamity was the Seminole Indians, the Black Seminole Indians, who got a history of lineage that's unbelievable, unparalleled. And they being told that they ain't Seminole. They got to prove it now. Now, how that sound? And that's in 2002. We just gave you 2009 when we was in so-called slavery. And now 2002, the Seminoles went to get their money. And they was told the most unbelievable thing ever. And yet, we still believe it. I'm going to play one more thing before. Chief, I'm about to call you now, so get your phone ready. Y'all been promised all kinds. This is the group that Professor Ogletree and all them talking. It's the same group that asked for all that. Let me see if you got it.
The National Coalition of Blacks for Reparations in America.
In Cobra.
Thank you. Congressman Waters. The global reparations movement is advancing mightily on the planet. Our brothers and sisters in the Caribbean are suing the nations of Europe that had involvement in the enslavement of the Caribbean.
Right.
In Europe, our brothers and sisters in London are crafting legislation. on the continent of Africa, we understand that there will be a major reparations conference in 2019-2020. Here in America, the only federal legislation, the federal push to have this country redress the crimes against African people has been H.R. 40. And now that Congressman Conyers is no longer there, we need someone to stand up and push this legislation forward. You have historically been a supporter of this legislation. We ask that you co-sponsor now, and not only co-sponsor, become an active co-sponsor. You have a relationship with the millennial, as Auntie Maxine, that no other congressperson has. And we're in Cobra, personally, right now, today, asking you to become more active in the role to push H.R. 40.
It's hard to imagine that Hollywood hasn't jumped all over this. You would think it would be box office gold, because it's part Spartacus and part Braveheart and part Amistad and part Glory, with a little bit of Dances with Wolves thrown in. A story decades long of oppression and freedom fighting. I don't understand why there hasn't been more attention to John Horse and the Black Seminoles, but hopefully we can correct this. John Horse and the Black Seminoles deserve to be remembered for a number of reasons. They created the largest haven in the U.S. South for runaway slaves. They led the largest slave revolt in U.S. history. They secured the only emancipation of rebellious slaves prior to the U.S. Civil War, and they formed the largest mass exodus of slaves across the United States, moving from the Florida Everglades through Indian Territory, what would become Oklahoma, eventually locating in Mexico, where they secured title to their own land. It's a remarkable story. It's overlooked not just by filmmakers, it's not well known in popular culture, and in fact it's been overlooked by historians of slavery, if you can believe it. In the early 18th century, two groups in particular fled the colonial South into Spanish Florida, into the Everglades. One of these groups were Seminoles, who were migrating from the various colonies, just trying to avoid white encroachment, basically, trying to move someplace that white colonists weren't. And the other group was runaway slaves, people who were fleeing and trying to create a free life for themselves. Both were welcome in Florida. And in fact, the Spanish crown offered runaway slaves their freedom if they would defend the land for the crown, for the Spanish. So a mixed society emerged in the Everglades of intermarriage, family intermingling between these runaway slaves and the Seminoles.
Okay,
and in fact, the first legally sanctioned black free town in the North American continent was in the Spanish Florida Everglades. After the American Revolution, people living in the southern states didn't really like living that close to a large armed population of former slaves, particularly when they were in league with the local Native American nation, the large armed group of free Seminoles. And they knew that their own slaves felt free to run away and be harbored by this group. They knew that they were welcomed. And so from George Washington's administration on, there was questions of what do we do about the problem of the Florida Everglades. In 1818, this was James Monroe's administration, General Andrew Jackson actually moved into Florida, invaded it, not authorized to do so. He was actually pursuing justice against those who'd attacked Fort Scott in Georgia, but he did it anyway. He went into Florida and claimed it for the United States. When he seized the peninsula, he took the opportunity to execute some of the people who opposed him, and also to clean out some of the areas of former slaves and Seminoles, because he felt that this would make it better for annexation. The United States then soon actually bought Florida from the Spanish. When Jackson became president, he decided to make sure that the black Seminole communities were moved out by force. So he pursued this in his policy, his larger policy of Indian removal. This led to the Second Seminole War, which was 1835 to 1842, and became the largest and costliest of the so-called Indian Wars. Because the two communities were tied together, that is, the former slaves and the Seminoles, when the Seminoles were attacked in the Seminole War, this led to an uprising of the former slaves. In April of 1836, Black Seminoles and their Indian allies moved together to create what was the largest slave rebellion in U.S. history. This wasn't just a matter of runaway slaves. More than 385 plantation slaves ran away from their masters and joined the Black Seminoles, essentially in laying waste to the Florida sugar mills, which were some of the most valuable areas, plantations, in the whole continent. One Seminole...
I can go all day with this, but I got a living legend amongst us who is going to give credence, and some not credence, I guess, to some of the things that were said in this, because based on the facts, were they really the indigenous people told they were slaved by historians? To say, you know, because this fight here is unbelievable, and not a history, not a movie, not Denzel, not nobody, not none of the greatest Spikes Lee. Nobody wants to touch a movie on this magnitude of this, because gambling must be involved. And without no further ado, I'm going to bring somebody who's been on the program many times. Early part of our programs, we owe a lot of her content. If y'all ain't never heard on this program, download it. But you're going to be able to hear her right now. This sister is about it, and she does not talk. She is about it. That's why we love her. Chief Warhorse, welcome to the program. We are, to me, at war, and there's no better person to give us some counsel but you. Go ahead, sister. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much, Drybone, for having me on your show again.
Always.
Actually, this is the first show I've done in a few years, okay?
That's right. That's right.
Sure I've been is. Off air. I told you the other day I'm back. I'm going to be cooking with cheese serving ministry again. But I'm glad you're doing this show about the Black Seminoles or Black Indians, period. Because in each group of Black Indians, we got to realize the Seminoles was a group made up of more than one group, which
right.
There were Shawnee in the Seminole, there were Creeks in the Seminole, lots of Creeks. The problem is, I was listening to the recording just now, but the problem is with Black Indians, it's over the years, 50 years, 100 years, people forget about anything, let alone their race and color. When someone else has given them false identity, false history. I was doing some studying. Woodrow Wilson, for example.
Mm-hmm.
He changed the whole structure of books in history. Then we come back from Woodrow Wilson, speed fast forward, it's Nixon. Nixon set new things into play. Nixon himself did a lot of damage to us. I'm going in recent years. I'm going to go back and come up. When Nixon did the reorganizing of the American Indians, he didn't reorganize the Black Indians. He reorganized his friends, people who were going to vote for him to win presidency. And you know, what we're not looking at, politics is a major issue right here. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They was trying to figure out what they were going to do with us from back in the 1800s. They were trying to figure out what they're going to do with slaves of the 1800s. See, when they banned slavery, the white Europeans, Black Europeans got scared. Did you hear what I said? White European, Black Europeans.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Go ahead.
All right. They was afraid of the same people they had been oppressing, but retaliate back on them. I keep saying people need to do their homework. Everybody in America that skin color is brown or black don't mean their history going to make them come from Africa nor from being an American Indian. Okay? Don't need to repeat that again.
You on the mic. You do whatever. If I say go ahead, keep it going. You want to repeat it? You feel free.
One more time.
I loved it. Go ahead.
Everybody's skin color that's black or brown is not from Africa nor from here.
Mm-hmm.
Black Europeans came here. I hear people talking about the Moors. Well, do they know the Moors came here under the doctrine of discovery to conquer this place? Mm. They was functioning under the doctrine of discovery. You know, when I first started talking about the doctrine of discovery, black man, white man, black woman, white woman, Indian, and nobody wasn't talking about no doctrine of discovery way back in the time when I was talking about it, okay? I was with Doctrine of Discovery before they had the internet, okay? And your black scholars would look at you like you were crazy. Like, what are you talking about? Doctrine of Discovery. What are you talking about, the 31st parallel? What is that stuff? Well, I didn't have as much books and the internet that you can zoom up, pull millions of stuff up at the fingertip now. See, that's mm-hmm. the way God, that's the way God have brought us with knowledge. That's why the more people say the Bible says we're going to be wiser but weaker. Okay? We're very wise if we use that internet right now. All of this stuff is on here. And before it disappears, people need to go read what is the doctrine of discovery if they haven't done that.
Before it disappears. I like that. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
They need to go learn about the early conquerors or colonizers. And then they'll find out, let's stop this black-white junk. Okay? That was a time I couldn't, even in your encyclopedias or anything, you didn't get to see the real stuff. You got to see what they put together in their publishing company
mm-hmm.
and gave it to. But the internet have made it where a person do not have to be ignorant anymore. The Bible says my people will perish for the lack of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And not we were perishing and is perishing because it won't take time for knowledge. Black folks are ready to take a cruise right now than sit down and read some of the real information that's out there. Now, don't get me wrong, they got some junk out there that's not real. But you're going to know when you run into real stuff. Go ahead and read the stuff out of the Library of Congress.
Yeah. Some stuff, yeah. Sure.
Go read about people like Webster, okay, who was a poet, a black man. We think he's a white man. Go read about what this man did in America, in early America. And he was a black European. We had black Europeans functioning in this country, and I did this last night to make sure I bring this to the audience correctly. All mm-hmm. they got to do is Google black European and just sit there and spend some days reading stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And stop just, you know, when I said I was a black Indian, I wasn't telling everybody in America that was black that they was an Indian indigenous to here. That is not what I was doing.
Mm-hmm. Now,
I was talking to people. I was talking to my people that got lost.
Now, mm-hmm. Let me ask people, I want you to understand, because, you know, you did. We had a hiatus based on COVID and all the crap that was going on across the country up until then. We had even Reverend Pickney, I hope to get you on soon, because we've been apart because of all this stuff going on. But just tell the people, see, I told you she don't talk about it, she be about it. If y'all don't know, y'all talking to an actual tribal chief of the Shatta people. First, give them a brief synoptic view on your battle to become recognized, because at the end of this program, once you realize they want something that should be already recognized, but not for this so-called indigenous rights thing. Tell them how your struggle was to become what you have become. Just give them a brief overview. We can't even skip that right now. We got to go right to tell them how that happened, because she is not talking about it. She is about it. So let's go.
But first, I was born and raised in a village in Beaufort. My people told me who I was. They didn't allow me to just go by what the world say. I came in the world knowing I'm Shatah. Showed it my kids. So did my mom. So the first thing is knowing who you are. Second, the elders in my community sit down and would tell us what happened, who stole from us, when they stole it, how they stole it, and everything. How to maintain what you already have. So we were being trained on watching our stuff, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But when I got older, I decided I wanted to start reading and see about some of this stuff because people thought I was crazy when I went to school and told them I was a Shatah. School didn't want to hear that, you know? And it's about integration. My teachers, some of them was my cousins, so they would tell these people, yes, you're from an Indian village. We're all Indians. And people would just look at them, these teachers, like they were crazy too. Mm-hmm. So, make a long story short, my people spoke English. Some of them didn't speak it too well because English is not their first language. That goes for my mom too. I'm the first one to go to the white man's school. My mom went to Indian school. My grandpa went to Indian school, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I was the first one to go to the public school system. Can I do it like that?
Yeah.
And when I went to school right now, which my husband says is better now, I had a very strong accent myself because in our area, the Indian accent was so strong. There were some words, it was hard for me to say it. Still is today. Because there's certain letters not in the Muskogee language, which is like an aura. You know what I'm saying? So being that there was no aura in our language, some of these words here was kind of hard for us to pronounce exactly the way the English language wanted you to. So to me, going to school, it was a constant struggle going into that world of the school and them trying to force you to do stuff or whipping you even if you didn't do it right, and coming home and my people speaking another language.
Right.
That was hard. But as a young age, you learn to live that dual life. I'm being honest with you. That's why I know there's a lot of people, they don't know who they are, but they just live the life. I lived the dual life, knowing though who I was, but I knew how to function in the other world. Why? Because my grandparents had done did it. Ever since 1808, after that area was brought into the United States by decree. But prior to that, my people had been in France, Spain, Britain, outside of just being in their own country. So they'd been learned how to teach us to adapt to whoever was in country. And they passed that down. Now, in passing it down, every cousin I have did not adapt. And it didn't happen in neither generation. But the ones who, out of each generation, remembered what they were taught, lived it, it maintains, and it passes down to the next generation, like I've done with my grandbabies. Now, make a long story short, a fight. My fight wasn't white people or help to fight black people. And I had told you all this dry bone that some of the worst people that came at us was the black Europeans.
Yep, you told me, you talked many times, and I said, wow. And let's go there with that, because your fight to become the chief of that area, based on you had to use a lot of law, a lot of knowledge, and you used that latitude and longitude mind we call the points. That has to be talked about, because that's magnificent how you did it.
Well, we got to look at Chief Warhorse before being a chief. She was a war horse in civil rights, okay? She, for many years.
Mm-hmm.
I even served on the National Board of Southern Christian Leadership Council along with some of your top civil rights leaders in this country that helped to bring about the civil rights and the voting rights bill.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't fight to be the chief. My elders called me and told me I had to be at a meeting one night. It was October 1998. Directly after Hurricane George, and my people told me that I was fixing to lead a fight. See, in the Indian community, it's not like in the African-American community today. And it's not like in the white community of today. In the Indian community, the leadership, the elders would tell you what they needed you to do. You didn't get a chance to say no.
Right.
I had to say no, but you didn't have that full choice because you got to think about the entire family. And when my family say you've been fighting for civil rights for everybody, and you haven't fought for civil rights for us. Because we are going through the same thing we've been going through. So then I really turned down being the chief. Well, I'm going to take the word chief away. I turned down being the leader.
Right.
Because the elders had been leading. I'm going to go back to what you got. I turned down being the leader of any battles. And they wanted me to battle to protect them with the last of their land and stuff that was trying to be taken. And I turned down leading that battle. I remember going home, going to sleep. I had just got in from traveling, and I fell asleep. And I remember before I went to sleep, the elders told me, you're going to come back, and you're going to be glad to come back because you're going to lead us. We need you. But I did not want to get into that part of the fight at that time because I had went to the elders about it before, and they had told me how hard it was going to be. They had told me I was going to fight the black man, the white man, and everybody. Well, I've been doing that already. But when I go fight this, who going with me? In the civil rights movement, I had. But what I was trying to get people to understand, who going with me on this? This here is not a fight that the paperwork is laying on everybody's table.
Mm-hmm.
My elder, before I left that meeting that night, we have paperwork to start your fight. You hear the word start?
Start, yeah, start the fight. Go ahead. I like this.
Start the fight. So in 1998, computers was at the early phase of Windows. This sounds so strange to say. You couldn't go in the store and buy a multimedia computer. You had to build a multimedia computer.
There you go.
I began to build me a multimedia computer, 1998. I had been fought using technology before, but it was in DOS. Okay. When I fought, I had to get a white dude who's a good friend of mine, and then I had a cousin, and they were like geeks of the early age of technology.
There you go.
The
geeks will rule. I know that for a fact. The geeks will rule. Go ahead.
So I end up with two white boys, and one of my cousins was geeks, and one white boy was teaching me, and the other one was working for me, okay, fall in with. And I told them what I wanted to do, and they're like, "What are you going to do?" I said, "Well, I'm going to challenge I'm backstepping y'all. I'm DEA-ing, but I'm coming back." I said, "I'm going to build a minority district because we don't have a majority black district."
Right.
So I began calling people and letting them know that I was going to do this. This was in, 1988, 89, okay? Mm-hmm. During the same time that Jesse Jackson, I'm going back here so I can come back to my fight.
Yeah, go ahead. You take us where we need to be. Go ahead.
So around this same time, Jesse Jackson, who was a fellow civil rights leader, he was running for president.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse's running for president. I'm trying to build a minority district. So it threw us to have tons of meetings across the United States to focus on what it takes to build a minority district. Well, I came out of community where my grandfather had taught me about meridians and parallels and land patents. So I didn't come to the table ignorant about the geographics of land. You get what I'm saying?
Yep.
I understood how important it was, I think, all my life to be a part of a census. I would say that one time they fought to be counted, but when they would count them, they would have some white woman. That was a job they had given to white women at one point. Before that, it was given to the government agents. Okay?
Mm.
Go back in history, the government agents censored our communities wrote down our race and descriptions, okay, of the people. Then it became a job that white women did every 10 years, go out and censor. And I remember them saying that they didn't like when these people come, because they would come in your neighborhood and they didn't come to your house and talk to you. They would go ask somebody who live over there.
Wow.
How many of them live? And if some of them was bright, they wrote them down as mulatto. If some was brownish looking, they wrote them down as colored.
Just like you said.
Dark.
Wow. Thank you, sister. You
they
just
wrote them down as negro. Okay? So right there, you go back to people now doing census don't realize why were there so many nationalities in a house? Because they didn't interview you personally. Okay? Someone else came in your neighborhood, in your community, and called themselves writing down who you were and documenting you. I've been in civil rights forever. So I decided I was going to jump on this censor. And I was going to work that censor because I knew we had been being miscounted. Okay? Because every time I look at the censor, it didn't match with our community. Back then, you didn't go on the internet to see the censor.
Right.
You had to go to your parish or county seat. After the census been drawn up, you can go in there and see what they say the count was. But if you notice, they never will show us the census block. So, you know, how many of us live in a block? And what does a census block do? So I began going to libraries, pulling books, reading about census, census blocks. And I'm like, well, heck, this is stuff my grandpa already taught me. Isn't that something? So at that time, we had a lot of cousins still living that knew about the geographics and the parallels and census blocks. So I hooked up with the old people, not the internet. I want people to understand. Because I'm still trying to get people to understand. There were no go to the internet.
Right.
And I did
That's right. There was no go to the internet. You're absolutely correct. Go ahead. We feel you on that 100.
All you did on the internet was dial up here, bing, bing, boom, boom. And you might could go out there and use it mostly for gathering the data yourself and putting it into the system, okay? So on the DOS system I was working on, you know, it didn't have a mass processing within DOS. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. We got you. Keep going.
So we built a database but did the mathematics by calculation of a calculator, hand done, and put it into the system. Drew maps by hand or go to the library at that time and blow the maps up, cut them out, put them together and put them in a book. But I'm telling you, you can get this here from the Justice Department. I ain't got a lie.
Yeah.
We manually put this together and drove it into Washington, D.C. and challenged the system here. And we won. And we won the first minority district. Okay? Now I'm finna bring you into what they have to do with Indians. As soon as we fought, a handful of people stuck with me, old people mostly. Black folks started fighting over who was going to run for the district. I could get out there and develop a district. But it wasn't the white man, it was the black folks. Couldn't see me saying who could run, help run the district and get it to the level of what I fought for it for. Okay? See, we had them fans. We messed ourselves up. So I was smart enough, in other words, to get the district, brave enough to fight the system and get it. And nearly everybody that ran for that district, nobody ever gave me a penny on fighting for that district. Didn't give me a penny on the trip. I'm not trying to down nobody, but it's time people get history. So it was like that hen and penny. You ever read about that hen? Trying to get everybody to help when nobody won't help until she done baked it up, ready to eat it, now everybody wants some.
Yeah.
So I looked at crazy talking about I was going to build this majority district. I had to fight even black politicians to build a district that was going to secure the black vote. Okay? So while you're doing stuff, you learn things. over the years, I've been working with a leader that was training me on the, how the law works in the United States. Now, that I didn't get from my grandpa. I had worked with a legislator by the name of Avery Alexander for many years, which means being that he was dealing with health and civil rights and prison systems, all that, because we had to do reading and studying for different bills was coming up. I was studying and break down the bills that was being passed. So I'm there working with a legislator. I want you guys to know I didn't work with that legislator for pay. And it's another thing we don't understand. Everybody want to know what's in it, where the money at. I worked with this legislator diligently with no paycheck for many years. My paycheck was knowledge. And I had access to getting see paperwork, too.
Yeah, yeah. See, that's that was my you went to the College of Hard Knocks, was real life, and did it the way you did. Now, for the sake of time, I know we want to make sure we get as much as we can. Because I want to know how you, because you got actually recognized for this endeavor. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I fought with the Census Bureau. The Census Bureau, I had to go to Washington. The Census Bureau ruled in our favor that we did not have a minority-majority district. Now, the people that ran for the office didn't know what I was fighting for because they never came to the meeting. Okay. Mm. So my goal was when we won the minority-majority district, that now I could use that mechanism to bring some of that congressional money to the black communities. Because what people didn't understand, and I learned that by working with Reverend Alexander, Ace Alexander, the census is so important because the census tells how much money come back down to your census block. Mm. That determines how much money come back to education, streets, roads, drainage, housing, jobs, even entertainment, a piece in the budget. So working with a powerful leader like that, and that was what he had been showing me, and I was trying to bring that back to my area. And then being a part of SCLC and SCLC training you, see, SCLC was training people. They were bringing their talents to that table and training people. And right. I had then been learning years from them too. So looking at the technique of what I was learning on what the congressional district is made up of and what it can do versus looking at the civil rights movement, I'm there with Dr. Joseph Ekolari, Avery Alexander, C.T. Vivian, James Orange. I can go on and on, okay? The legends of the movement, Dr. Lafayette, is who's, and he's still with us too, thank you, Lord. I'm out here with these super dynamic people that put together the vote right and civil rights bill.
Right.
I knew Judge Collins and Judge Augustine, who with Judge Collins was working under Judge Augustine back in the day when they was writing the civil rights bill. Right here in New Orleans, Louisiana, next door to me, because I'm not in New Orleans. I want people to stop putting me in New Orleans. I'm not in New Orleans.
With the North Shore, okay, because I want to make sure, because I was going to ask you about that. Like, I make sure I got the right area because where you got this decree from. Go ahead. Don't keep going. Make sure you already answered.
I don't even share the same air with New Orleans or none of that. We got a few congressional people we share. Outside of that, New Orleans is across the river. Now, history once New Orleans was with us. After the United States took over, that's, you know, that part. But anyway, let me explain this to you. I got to go back to the census because that's what your people need to think about because we just went through a census.
Right.
And that is so messed up.
They forgot, though. They forgot because of COVID. Man, I'm glad you just said that, Sister Chief, because we forgot that census. Until you said it. I was even like, oh, yeah. My mind said, oh, yeah, it was a census. See? And then if you didn't participate, because we've been told, our people been told not to participate. Seems like we've been told to do the opposite of what would be beneficial. Look like that's how they seem. Oh, don't participate because it's a white man, blah, blah, blah. But they don't realize the money that is behind the participation. What's your thoughts on that? Since you, okay. All right. Help me out because you're the man. Go ahead.
So that was one of my main fights, is getting us accounted for to get funding to come back to our area. We talk about economic development. We talk about Black Wall Street. Well, right. The reason our Black Wall Street don't exist is because we move our money out of our censor block and don't put them in the censor block collectively.
Mm.
Okay? And this is the kind of stuff I was teaching back in the day.
Oh, my. Okay. Keep going. That was beautiful what you just said. Go ahead.
So my people looking at me fighting, saying, you need to be over here fighting for your tribe and your family. They wasn't being selfish, but they thought people wasn't appreciating my years and my money. My husband was going to work in construction, see me 7 days a week, giving me the money, and I'm trying to take my money, travel up and down because there was no internet, pulling papers and fighting and traveling to Washington to bring
right.
some funding back to the grassroots part of my communities. I want people to understand that.
Yes.
It's not
yes.
like people not jumping on the internet and tomorrow they're organizing something and trying to teach people stuff that they ain't done themselves. What I'm talking about, I've done it. Before
right.
technology, I did it the hard way. When you have to cut and paste and make flyers to try to get people to come to a meeting.
That's
okay?
right. That's right.
So yeah. make posters to protest, to march, to get the attention of the public and the person who you're fighting, the politicians and stuff. So
mm-hmm.
I'm talking about foot soldier style, go to door, not sit behind in a desk or a chair or in your bed or wherever people had on their phones and computers stirring up mess on the internet and confusing the minds of people that already been confused. You know, I heard a while back somebody they waking up people or the wake up or the awokens. They a lot of them is still asleep. It's just getting now where they're saying black and brown. I had some educated people calling me with an Afro-American, and I asked them, where is your African land? Same people say, I don't want to be with the master's name, so they changed their name. Well, dang, Britain, Spain, and France conquered Africa. Britain had Africa. Huh?
Yeah.
So
the hell, right?
How can you run from the people who understand the power of conquering and putting censors towards you? So censors is not only used here as a white man thing. Censors is used around the world. And we got to realize, when I was fighting censors, there was a group of blacks who was fighting to be recognized as Creoles in Louisiana.
Right.
And it was a big movement, and their issue at that same time was to become Creoles.
Yeah.
And the Central Negro didn't allow that to happen.
Yeah, I'm so glad.
I still tell people, Creole is not a race, Creole is a culture.
Yeah, it's a culture. It's a culture. Now, that's correct.
I'm coming back forward. Jesse Jackson wanted people to put African American on censors in 1980. He was gearing them up for the next censor to be African American.
Yes, he was.
That started within his time of running for office. Okay? I couldn't come back home to my people. So I'm not putting no African American on there. Because my people knew back then, Africans didn't own nothing in what we call America.
Mm.
Okay? So I started asking some of my leaders back then, Reverend Alexander for one, if you fought under Negro and colored, what's the benefit of becoming an African-American? Aren't you leaving that which you have secured to move to something that's insecure? And leave the same point.
Insecure.
Okay?
Insecure.
You want me to say that again?
Yeah, say it again, please. Rewind. Rewind that one for us.
I wanted to know, were they going to move themselves by what Jesse was proposing under African American when all that the civil rights movement had fought for and secured was under Negro? And when you move from that to African American, that means you left your Negro paperwork claims and suits empty. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But black folks got shamed into being recognized as a Negro. So they jump on the African wagon. See, the white man has been filtered that to somebody, and some big shot Negroes too. Okay? Because when Martin Luther King was fighting, he said, the Negro people find themselves in exile in their own land. I read that before the internet. And I'm like, wait a minute, Dr. King said something here.
Right.
So you got to read and understand.
Right.
This is powerful what this man said.
Powerful.
And the only other person who talked to me about exile was my grandpa. My grandpa used to say, look, Shaq, we were born in exile. Grandpa, what's exile? He said, well, it's a somewhat open prison. He said, some of us, they took to Oklahoma. And some of us stayed here in exile under dual citizenship. Meaning, yeah, we served time, but we living in America. I want you to hear me now. So he did not tell me that African Americans, my grandfather said they're Choctaw people. He said there's paperwork to prove who you are. But if you let them change you and make you call yourself a Choctaw, you would never be able to prove you a Choctaw, so don't let nobody call you a Choctaw. Well, when I brought this up to Reverend Alexander about moving from Negro to African-American, I was only reflecting on a conversation I had with my grandfather prior. You see? Because he even taught me the importance of staying with what your paperwork is under. Heck, my grandpa wasn't no Indian. He was a Choctaw, but they put the paperwork under Indian. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Christopher Columbus made us Indians. He was born a Choctaw. So Indian become a description, not my race.
Right.
Are you with me?
I'm 100.
So when you don't know how to function in dual society, you'll mess yourself up.
Now, let's leave. Hold on. Don't go nowhere. Don't stop. Because we got to go to a break. I got to give a kind of shout out. We're going to keep going. I'm just going to say Choctaw. Queen Choctaw, go tell us that. Stay with us, Chief, because we're going to go over with you. Because I see we need to. People, the lines are lighting up. If you get off, remember, it's 12 o'clock. If you jump off, you better jump on the lines now because I can't control the internet, like she said. We're on a whole new type of mindset. So those of you out there, Sister Antoinette, Brother Eddie, look at the archive. We got Kim Weston out of Detroit, the icon, living Motown icon, doing her thing. Sister Antoinette has some great shows with her. She's doing a documentary herself on Motown and her life. And she's the national anthem. We got them here on the Dry Bones. We bring all the connections back. It said bone to bone.
Keith Silver?
I'm not sure who she know. I know she come on here. You know, Kim Weston is one of the Bill Cosby, first black to have a sitcom back in the day with Bill Cosby and them, big time. And I think all y'all connected is at a personal time in life that we need to have this because many people do not know this. So I'm going to take a quick break, get yourself together, Chief, because we're about to go further. I want you to ask a question because money is involved with this. They gave, and I want you to ask about this Doss report where the Freedmen's Bureau, they made it where the U.S. government divided us. And to this day, and according to the law, it's called the Dawes, D-A-W-E-R's role. We made a big mistake going that role, y'all. And I'm going to come back with that. So get ready, Chief, and bring you back. Because once we get to high noon, that means the highest or the most high. And we're going to make it harder. And Chief going to be with us. Just take a quick break. But we are in the age of Aquarius. Chief, I'm asking about abortion. I'm going to get you. I want your opinion. We want to have you here because you're an icon. It's going to go down in our archives. What you think about abortion, what you think about Roe versus Wade, what you think about what's going on in politics. You was given much recognition by some of the, even the Clinton recognized y'all as well, Louisiana. You give us that history when we come back. All you out there, jump on now because the internet will cut you off. Shows that give you the facts.
Do it.
back. We back. We're going to let the sun shine in. That means the Helios Biblios is almost at the high noon. We're going to get hotter and hotter. Now, for those of you who have been listening, you jumped on. I see the lines have gotten hot. Jump on. We got to the 12 o'clock noon. Sister Antoinette, much love to you. Brother Eddie, Wednesday nights, y'all better get on that number thing because he has been on point. And those of you, Brother Ray, special shout out to you. Hope you're doing better. And this is an era I want to start asking you, Chief. I want you to hear this right quick before we play this. This is sad because there is a money component to this Native American tradition, and we're going to get into that after this. I want all of you for the first time who never heard this before to realize what we're about to play for you is not us talking, it's facts. This was a hearing with the Seminole. After all you heard about how they was the biggest revolt, they was the most costly, and yet we hearing these other stuff about the North, but this was the only area where they had, let me tell you what they had, because you're fighting for it right now. That's how you know history connected. History connected. Do you know that the Seminole, listen carefully, this is how deep this is. The black Seminoles lived mostly in districts banned near Native American Seminoles, and some as was held as slaves. Because, of course, the indigenous people had a slave culture as well. That need to be talked about. Chief, hope you're prepared for some of that talk there. Let's get that. There is slavery in these lands here, particularly in the Seminole leaders. But the black Seminoles had more, look what they said now, because I heard the report, the black Seminoles had more freedom than did any slave held on a white plantation in the South. And by Native American Indians, including, they had the right to bear arms. Based on the right to bear arms, they were so deadly, they needed the buffalo soldiers to fight them. No European white man could do it. That's a fact. Y'all want the facts? Come on, talk to me with that. Bring me your war books and show me I'm lying. I already showed you that the Civil War, the Revolutionary War, were Negroes and children, according to many reports by reporters at that time. But here's the biggest report ever. This is a 2002 report. D.W. Bush was in power. This report came out. I already told you two reports that seem to be just going over everybody's head. The one that slavery still existed, 2009, in many of the states that had plantations ran by corporations. So that automatically show you that we under a corporate oligarchy. And now the Native Americans, the most important and most unbelievable story that y'all have made a lie out of. How the hell you think, didn't y'all read the census like she said, did you not know that? And I read what she told me this years ago, and I found this out through you, sister. So get ready, I'm about to bring you back in at high noon. I'm just building up for the high noon show. She told me years ago, we talk about at least 6 years ago when I first met her on this type of platform. She said, Dry Bones, go to the 31st parallel. Told me what names to look up. And that's why we've been doing shows showing you who instituted. She said that the Moors, which is the Moroccans, Liberia, Libya, all of them had charters under the Queen Isabella for discovery, conquest of discovery. They didn't come here to be friends. They came to conquer. And then for you to have these pseudo-intellectual college people now telling you that a woman, now this gave, University of Pennsylvania just gave a transsexual woman a year, and the women ain't even mad. That shows you that something's wrong. That means I'm right about the hermaphrodite cult, what we'll be getting into later in this program. I'm about to heat. I got 90 seconds. That's what I'm going to do at the perpendicular. We had 90 seconds. I'm going to go into the perpendicular on y'all. This report should have been your wake-up call, but it wasn't. Listen to what the Native Americans, Seminole, are having to go through, and y'all all watched it, claiming you love Obama. Niggas, beware. It also says, before your ignorance, you shall. Your own Bible story said, because of your ignorance, you will be ruled by reprobate people. So why don't you blame God for your troubles?
In recent years, Indian tribes across the country have reaped windfall profits, usually from gambling operations, and some, like the Seminole Nation of Oklahoma, from belated government payouts for lands taken hundreds of years ago. But what makes the Seminoles unique is the fact that this tribe, unlike any other, has existed for nearly three centuries as a mixture of Indians and blacks, runaway slaves who joined the Indians as warriors in Florida. Together, they fought government troops in some of the bloodiest wars in U.S. history. In the late 1830s, the Seminoles lost their land and were forced to a new Indian home in what is now Oklahoma. Over the years, some of them intermarried, and that blurred the color lines even further. Now, the government is paying the tribe $56 million for those lost Florida lands, and the money is threatening to divide a nation. Talk to Seminole Chief Jerry Haney. He says the black members are no longer welcomed by many in the tribe. After 300 years together, the chief says the tribe wants them to either prove they're Indian or get out. What are you hoping that the black Seminoles will do now? Are you hoping they will just pack up and go away?
I would hope so.
So if they're black and they can't prove that they have Indian blood, go away.
Basically, that's what we're saying.
Harsh words from the Seminole chief for the 2,000 black members of this mixed Indian tribe. In response, they say they're just as much Seminole as he is.
I fished in these woods. I hunted in these woods. I went to stump dances just like the regular Seminoles did. And I never knew I was any different for a long time.
On any given Sunday, go with Loretta Guest to the Indian Baptist Church in Seminole County, Oklahoma. And you'll find red and black Seminoles praying together, singing hymns in Seminole, sharing meals, and catching up on tribal news. Walk with her through the Indian cemetery out back, and you'll find their ancestors are buried together as well.
My aunt is next to him.
Were there any distinctions made as to, you all are the black Seminoles, we're nice to you, but you're the black Seminoles?
No, no, nothing like that. We've always been treated as one to another. No difference at all.
It was an alliance that began more than 300 years ago in Florida when runaway slaves and different Indian tribes sought refuge together and later fought the white man. Joe Opala, a history professor at James Madison University in Virginia, says that from the beginning it was a melting pot tribe. So these people all banded together and somehow became Seminole?
Became Seminole. And in fact, the word Seminole is not even an Indian word. It is derived from a Spanish word, cimarron, meaning runaway slave. And so from the beginning, you don't have an Indian tribe. It was a multi-ethnic coalition.
Historical evidence documents their close relationship. Blacks became chiefs, signed treaties, and served on the tribal council. They intermarried. They were equals, Opala says, and the Indians depended on them as warriors and interpreters. So there absolutely is proof of the black Seminole importance to the tribe.
Absolutely. There's a lot of intelligence information that passes back to Washington. For instance, General Jessup, the commanding general, writes back at one point to the War Department and says, the Negroes rule the Indians. What he was referring to was the fact that no significant decision was ever taken in the Seminole councils unless the black members agreed to it.
When the red and black Seminoles were forced out of Florida in the 1830s, they traveled together hundreds and hundreds of miles by boat and on foot, passing through this barren place on the banks of the Arkansas River all the way to Oklahoma. It was a long and difficult journey, referred to as their Trail of Tears, for the many who died along the way. Now, nearly 200 years later, comes the $56 million payment from the federal government to compensate the tribe for those lost Florida lands. But the black Seminoles can't share in it because the government and the tribe say they were slaves of the red Seminoles back then, and as slaves, could not have owned land. Joe Opala, who has worked to preserve their legacy, says that's wrong.
The black Seminoles fought side by side, died, bled for those lands in Florida. They've been together, they've been good brothers and good neighbors for three centuries. It makes no sense now to say they're not Indians.
Our ancestors were some of the most fiercest fighters during the war.
during the Indian War?
Yes, due to the fact that they knew if they were recaptured, they were going into slavery, mm-hmm. back into slavery.
Bud Crockett and his sister Polly Gentry traced their Seminole roots back to their great-grandmother, Dora Davis, who came to Oklahoma on the Trail of Tears. But family legend and physical resemblance aren't enough. Today, you have to be able to prove your Indian heritage, which is hard for most black Seminoles because of something called the Dawes Rolls, a government census of sorts created in the late 1800s, which separated the tribe into the Blood or Red Seminoles and the Freedmen or Black Seminoles. Intermarriage made no difference, as Polly and Bud discovered with their ancestors.
If you had any black blood in you whatsoever, you were a freedman.
So it didn't matter how much Indian blood you had. Just
right.
Any black blood,
right.
You went on a separate roll.
Right.
And on the black Seminole roll.
Now, before I bring it to you, I told y'all last week, this is the course that what she just told you, the white and black Europeans came up with. And you know, they were black and white Europeans. And I want y'all to know that show I played with earlier before I bring Chief back on. The one I played earlier about cotton picking plantation, you will hear, listen to the whole thing because I left out the parts that your boy, everybody love, he said that there was white people. And that woman said they had white people in slavery too with them. Y'all listen to the whole thing. See, I did. I watched the whole thing. I ain't do like y'all do on YouTube. It's just 3 minutes. I listened to the whole 1 hour and 40 minutes. And when she said that white people was in there, they was not only raping them, they were raping white people too. I said, my God, what kind of people are we dealing with? Come to find out, they are the families of what we've been telling you all along. The Menevichis. And y'all just never looked it up. Who fought us that? Let's get it on, Chief. You told us about the 43rd parallel. You just heard Florida and you heard the Seminole case. What's your thoughts when you hear stuff like that? $56 million and they got an Indian who was brainwashed. Somebody who gave us brainwashed to go along. If y'all listen to the whole thing, he actually end up at the, it's a 60 minutes, y'all. At the end of this interview, that so-called chief confessed they was like forced to do it. He was almost looked like he was in tears. I ain't making this up. I got the whole thing, but I can't play the whole thing cause for time restraints because we got to have a program here. But just go look it up. I tell you, I challenge you to go on and look it up. 60 Minutes is called Special Report on the Black Seminoles 2002. If how come we didn't know that? It's 2002. I'm running around blinded, not even know we got this type of power. And y'all going to tell me y'all believe in fake news today? When my man, I don't even have to give you. If you don't like Trump, that's fine. I'm just going to bring some more fire in here before I bring Chief. Chief, I hope you're with me. Can you hear me? Trump tried to tell you that white lady was lying. She said she don't look like no Native Americans, but y'all took that shit on some crazy tangent. And now you here, now seeing how you got played for 50. That's back in 2002. Just think about how they were able to fit. And when you see the whole story, I was crying. One Indian tribe, she couldn't fix her house. Her husband was bricking her wood house with bricks, beautiful masonry, and he died of a heart attack trying to get his wife a house. And you niggas out here talking about y'all love each other. Our people was eating alligators. You heard this woman said in Mississippi, we ate everything. We shared everything together in the most abject, psychotic reality on earth. We was more closer than we are today. Chief, are you with us? Explain how we got from this to this. How we become close under slavery, more closer to slavery than we are today. And I need your wisdom, and I'm going to start this program. Go ahead.
I told you I'm back. I'm cooking up some good recipes and serving up some delicious.
I like that. Yeah.
Here we go. Everybody keeps saying, where's the pots when you're cooking? Okay, I'm cooking up, putting recipes so I can serve it up to you so you can have the delicacy that we've been denied. Okay?
Thank you, baby.
That's what I'm serving up.
I appreciate it.
But I can cook, though.
Everybody love, I know I love the food channel. Everybody know I love cooking. Go ahead. Keep it going.
that's why my show is Cooking with Chief. But I can cook, too, in the pot. But we got to cook another way. We like to party. And see, I love your party you invited me to today. And I love everything you're serving up, brother. Let me tell you something. First thing should come to our mind is Woodrow Wilson.
Mm.
Okay? Woodrow Wilson erased the real history, and
he
ordered a group of professors to rewrite the history of the United States of America.
There you go. And I have somebody I know personally. I can't say that. I'm going to stop you real quick. I got somebody I know personally who I have indelibly have worked with who used a Woodrow Wilson quote. Those who listen to me today know secretly who I'm talking about because I can't say the name. But this individual used a Woodrow. If you got a person on your job to use a Woodrow Wilson quote, I just gave you all the ammo. Go ahead, sister. Keep it going.
Well, the white universities have declared Woodrow Wilson's collection of rewriting as some of the most racist material used in our educational system since Woodrow Wilson.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes. Yes.
And the universities have apologized. But
yes.
Apology, that's like President Obama apologized for what the United States done, but did he tell you what he was apologizing for? You know, that pays no value to me when you still got the Corn Creek and Aaron piled on top of me. The weight is still on me. Mm-hmm. Now, an apology with removing the weight off me and giving me freedom of mind, body, and spirit, that's an apology. But an apology while I'm still buried and covered up and still continuously being covered up with lies does not release me. $57 million does not pay today for what was taken from them in 1800s.
That's right.
$57 million is pennies to the dollar of today.
Right. Well,
Let me say,
because back then at 2002, it's probably worth about $150 million, because remember, inflation has made it. And so whatever they get now, I'm going to ask yourself, because I need to know this, because you are the foremost understandable person who had actually experienced any type of land and understand about this. So if the government realized they recognized you and gave it to you, but they put a DOS law, I want to know why the lawyers, because you said it, and you said, no, it's what you use. I'm going to tell you how powerful you are. You just said the census, and they use the census. That DOS row, if that DOS row, why can't we find some lawyers? And I'll be willing to give my money, some money to that shit. If you can find some lawyers that said we could beat this shit, because who would make up some crap when you fought for the whole survival of this Seminole tribe? And I'm talking to you, Florida. Florida, if you really want to make a statement, I'm going to tell you why I know. Because you heard what he said. Seminole come from a Spanish word. That's a magic word. If it came from Spanish at that time, that's magic. For those of you who don't want to hear that, but facts matters. Remember, the Spain came from Africa. That's the African. They gave you some magic. They called you Seminoles, runaway. So everybody was running away because the whole area was running away from their so-called, what you said, Chief, their so-called manifest destiny. So that means whoever don't create our Christianity, we're going to kill. Now, most of Seminoles today, right. So if that's the decree that they gave, of course, out of fear, that was it. Now, Chief, I'm going to ask you some questions because I need your energy right now. Now, this say, for instance, you think, put yourself there because you got more history than I got because you in a different environment. You got more history on me than I got what you're doing than I got for that. So I'm going to give you the floor. If I was free as a slave in that era they claimed we was given this permission to be free, why would I take on to the Republican Party first? If everything in my mind is wicked, based off slavery, what I heard from Sister May from Mississippi, and I want you to comment on that because slavery was in Mississippi in the 60s, and you were around in the 60s. I mean, did you know that Louisiana had these plantations that was like exclusive where nobody could touch them? Because that's like oligarchy stuff where you can't even touch a person. Even though the laws say we ain't no slaves, they able to hold slaves. So did you notice that yourself?
You keep saying Mississippi. I went with Reverend Alexander up in a part of Louisiana in the 70s, 80s. Listen at me, not no 60s, 70s and 80s, where people was considered sharecropping along up around Donaldsonville and all them areas, okay?
Right, right. That's what I want to hear. Yeah, thank
you. Sharecropping is another word for slavery.
Right.
Okay?
Cold
word. These people were still in bondage of sharecropping because they still was living in the house of these white people, and they still was working these people farms and plantations. And they couldn't leave because they was financially obligated in back debt, so-called, to these landlords. See, landlord become the replacement word for master.
Right.
Sharecropping
right.
become the replacement word for slavery.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
So there were places in Louisiana and Mississippi where slavery was existing in the backwoods. Now, was it, the problem is, not was it still here, how was it still here? You know, I tell people that have Juneteenth when they said, but the Emancipation Proclamation was signed and it didn't make it to Texas till da da da. Man, listen, wherever they had white people working together in a town, there were no one going around looking to see what black people being misused, abused. Look at us in 2022 still battling about our rights. People have come from other countries, have more rights than we have.
Right.
In a country, you know, that as a civil rights leader, the civil rights that was fought for, led for by black Indians and blacks, again, another set of Seminoles, if you want to put it that way, that joined forces, okay? Blacks and Indians. I ain't even know white Indians. I'm talking about black Indians.
Now, let me ask
you had a lot of civil rights leaders that was out there was black Indians, but by law could not be classified on paper.
But a lot of people heard this talk. Now, I'm out of New York State. My passport says New York, born and birth. Now, New York State got the Seneca Indians, the Iroquois. They all through New York State, you got the Finger Lakes, all the Lake Chautauqua. Everything is a Native American connotation. Now, if this is the case, if they got the biggest casino both in Niagara Falls and in downtown Buffalo. Now, I'm trying to figure out for everybody involved because everybody don't have it. Georgia don't really have no casinos by the Indians. I look at us, and I'm thinking pirates. I said, man, it must be some piracy going on because how is the pirates able to take gambling on land into Native American land, give them tax exemption now, y'all. I want y'all to hear something now. They getting tax. They gas the lowest. They cigarettes the lowest. All vice, even though I love Miami Vice, is under tax exemption. That's pirate land. That means they brought amity law on land. Now, you said the 31st parallel. And I'm going to take some calls after this because I need you to go down.
Okay.
If the,
First of all, Woodrow Wilson set the platform and built the foundation of what we are living today. But President Nixon built the house, okay?
Right, right.
Woodrow Wilson put the foundation there that would give them the laws on their side to use black code and the black law against Indians as well as other blacks. Now,
right.
I'm using the word black, and I'm going to use the word white. White was not a race or color of your skin. White was a classification or privilege. Black was also a classification that you couldn't inherit anything from your people. Okay,
right.
Meaning you get... So you either was on the white list or the black list. So on the white list, who wasn't on there at one time was the Jews, the Irish, the Scottish, the Italian, the German. They were not on the white list. They were fighting to be included with being white, classified white. White means you could vote. White means you could own land. White means the laws of the United States protected you. There are history papers that show non-whites. Non-whites is the ones I just excluded, along with the blacks and the Indians. All right? So when you said earlier about there were white people, there were white slave that traveled the Trail of Tears. And the Trail of Tears was not on land all the time. The Trail of Tears also went by boat. And the boats used to stop at forts. So we got to stop telling this lie that everybody walked across on the land when they were shipping them out of your own boats.
Oh! But, so, hold on. Because, you know, I love, you know, you mean you talk. That dry bones. Now, that prophecy seems to be where I will bring you into ships. And it, so they could easily have transported many of the indigenous people to the Mississippi and brought them into different locations and shipped them off into that once they did the Lewis and Clark Masonic geographical location that was given to them by the Moroccans to do. So you're telling me that basically that all the surveyors, those all your surveyors are black, everybody, Benjamin Banneker, Chicago,
Morgan,
Morgan,
all of them.
Yeah, yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Listen,
this is
we got more than one trail of tears. If we're going to talk about trail of tears, more than one trail of tears. All right. You got the Indians going into Oklahoma on a trail of tears by boat and by land, okay? But if you really look in the history, simultaneously, you also had the removal of the slaves going to Sierra Leone and all of those places. Because every state bought a colony in West Africa. So I hear everybody say, they traced my blood to West Africa. Did you ever thought about they took your people to West Africa when they was removing people from here to go to Africa? Okay? Is y'all still there? Hello? I can't hear y'all.
Well, I'm still here, sister, if you can hear me. I don't know if my phone might have got kicked off.
All right, I want to make sure y'all get it.
My phone might have got kicked off.
All right, I just want to
make sure y'all get it. Sometimes the host gets kicked off the host. I don't know why they do him like that, but yes, ma'am, they kick him off sometimes. He'll be back in.
Yes, ma'am, keep talking. We hear you, ma'am. We hear you. Keep talking.
All right, I just want to make sure y'all hear. So they removed, after they saw how successful the removal of the Indians to Oklahoma, there was also a removal of the black slaves and some more Indians to West Africa, Sierra Leone, and all those places.
Right.
Now, so we don't talk about that removal either. We want to talk about when the slaves came to America. Well, when did the slaves and the Indians left and went to Africa? By ship. Because that was what the colonization was about with West Africa. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
When more than one trail of tears. We got to stop making them group everything or make it look like a separate time. It was so successful to remove the Indians, they found it successful to move the rest of the people to Africa. Just like right now, people to my African-American. When you say African-American, you have eliminated all the other blacks that was here, or you have included the black Europeans and everybody into when people say they want reparation. Okay, how are you going to get reparation when you don't know which African-American you are?
Right.
And you change your name to Mongula. Mongula Gagala. Where is your ancestor tree to Mongula? So they trick you to change your name and pick up names. And what people don't understand, that the Muslims was the one who was first teaching and selling slaves.
That's the problem right there.
A lot of people left them.
But Chief, hold on. Chief, let me ask you one question because I want you to get more involved
slave
in this.
That's the one thing we have a problem with.
They lied about the slave trade, and our people only got one group in their mind. It's the only, they don't have like you talking. Even your generation, and I'll give blessings to you, Brother Ray. Dr. Carl Anderson even told them on numerous occasions. Dr. Henry Clark, and they act like they forgot this stuff, Chief. Are we under a new warfare where they're able to make us forget? Because remember, the Bible say you will forget and be under a reprobate mind. And he actually said, you're so wicked, I will make you go under these people. So are we this wicked? Because the spirituality seems like we go along with anything. First of all,
it had been back in time, it had been hard to find a whole lot of black people that didn't believe in God. For number one.
Yeah.
That's all they had to believe in.
Right.
All they had was God to believe in. I don't care what nationality.
Yeah.
Now we so educated till we don't believe there's a God and we think we are in charge. Okay?
Right.
So
okay.
That's the part of the reprobate mind right there when you think you can control society. You can't make the sun shine and you can't make the moon set. You can't make the stars shine. You can't make the water move. But you know, I'm hearing black folks on the internet talking about, I'm God. That's
right.
Stupid. If you God, why are you living in the predicament you're in, and why are you allowing what's happening to you? I ain't putting nobody else to you. So stop. We all prayed and leaned on God.
Now, let's go there.
All right.
Ask a question. Now, hold on. I want, because I don't have you. I'm glad to have you back. I'll make sure we get as much out of this as we can. Let me ask you about what you feel about the indigenous philosophy for women, being that you are a chief. And I tell people all the time that the ancient warriors were women. And I see it. I've read about it. I looked it up. There ain't no joke
okay.
about it.
Queen.
Hold on. Let me ask you a question. The question is, what do you think about this abortion thing? What's your view on how they have taken something that's sacred as be able to reproduce and now saying, hey, we can kill it into 9 months? And many women don't know that they can still get abortions all of a sudden. They act like they can't get it. But on the native, on your perception of native law and mythology, what would the women be doing? Would this be a big subject in the Native American land?
No, because from the beginning of time, women can abort a baby whenever they want to. They don't need a law. Okay,
right.
That's number one. Number two, I feel that is also something of your choice, because I cannot govern that, because that's your body. You can drink a pill, do something crazy to abort a baby, okay?
Right.
Abortion, not abortion, is a moral standard that you got to allow that person to deal with. I'm not for taking the life of any human being, be it a baby in the womb or be it a black person they want to get a death sentence or a white person they want to give a death sentence when they're adults. I just don't understand the same people that's pushing to stop abortion also push for electric chair for black folks. I just haven't gotten that. It's like save them when they're a baby, wait so we can kill them when they get old. That's my theory personally, okay?
Okay, so same as a baby. So we can, now, I mean, let's go there with that, because you've been around politics, you've been around a lot of this, and you've been around a lot of celebrities. We might have to have you on a couple of times to go back to the things with celebrities and everything else that you have experienced. Do you think that there is, because of your spiritual belief, is there like I look up a lot of Native Americans. It seems there is duality of life and good and evil. So is just by us never talking about the Native Americans having slaves too, you think that might contribute to why we don't have a proper understanding of this? Because we seem not to like talk about the indigenous people incorporating that Confederacy and slavery, because I looked up a lot of stuff that you told me to, and it was some Native American tribes that was actually on the side of the Confederacy. So how do we look at all this stuff if we say, hey, because mainly
First of all, the Confederacy wasn't for the Europeans, okay?
Right.
First of all, the Confederacy started out with the Indian tribes along the below the 31st parallel, okay?
Mm-hmm.
In what we would call Southeast, Southwest United States, okay?
Yeah, there you go. Go ahead.
Below the 31st parallel, to me, it's the same thing as people talking about the slaves went, when they got free, they went to Canada. Well, we never talk about the slaves that got free from the above parallel that came down. We got to remember, Georgia was the capital at that time. And everything that was going on at one point in time, it was going through Savannah, Georgia. Okay? So when the slaves would leave out from Carolina or Georgia, they came down into below the 31st parallel, coming down into the Floridas, okay? Within the Floridas, you had East and West Florida. Where I live now was not a part of Louisiana in the 1700s, okay? It wasn't until 1808, and with a controversy between French, Spanish, and British, finally finalized about 1820-something, we were brought in by decree through James Madison and C.C. Claiborne. Okay, but prior to that, and prior to the Louisiana Purchase, there were no Mississippi, Alabama on the Gulf Coast.
Right.
It was in West Florida.
Right.
All right.
Go back
to census counts, and we none sit down and wonder why did they do these boundaries, and we got to look at these boundaries. So I'm in Louisiana now, but my history is trapped in West Florida, the richest part of my history, okay? So they were able to do reapportionment and redivide the meridian and throw us over into Louisiana. I am really the part of West Florida. West Florida goes from West Feliciana all the way back to Florida to, trying to call the name of it, slipping me today.
Pensacola?
Pensacola, okay?
Pensacola. Yeah, I've been to Pensacola. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. All the way to West Feliciana in Louisiana. New That's Orleans right. was a part of West Florida. The other That's side right. of the river was not a part of West Florida. But in Louisiana, you got people talking about the Homa Indian, this Indian. I'm calling some names. None of those Indians then are in what would have been historical West Florida. They in what's historical Louisiana. Y'all with me? So, moving lines, we got to watch reapportionment. Reapportionment, that's where I was going earlier. Reapportionment comes back when they count the people, and then here comes, after the census, they do reapportionment and say who's going to be where, which then give you your congressman or your congressional seat.
Right.
Are you with me?
We're with you.
Your congressional seat is which give you the money or the wealth of your community. Like right now, Detroit, their numbers going down. Ohio, numbers going down. California, numbers going down. Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Florida, all numbers are going up because people coming down below the 31st parallel.
They coming back, right. They coming back to the first. Go ahead. See, I'm feeling it. And I also want the repercussions that you feel of them all coming back. Is that a good or bad? Because we got too many coming back.
Too many coming back. The style of building houses are different, so we're flooding ourselves out, making ourselves on the Gulf Coast vulnerable to be wiped out, okay? Because if everybody keep building and there's no trees for to absorb the water, there's no way for the water to make it to the waterway because we done put concrete buildings and stuff there. And
there you go.
Built
that's
the road.
Right.
So
that's right.
We are self-destruct right now, okay?
Right. Oh, man. That's beautiful. Mm-hmm.
What we're looking at is, the problem is, we are not sitting down, just like the Europeans did when they came here, black and white Europeans. We are more on greed on what I want, not what's best for the land. Now, as an
right.
Indian, I got to look at what's best for the land. So we are destroying the land, and we're building these houses iron and board distance apart. You can't raise a garden in that tight space. You can't plant a garden in the concrete you're pouring. So when you cover up the ground, what wealth is it to your soil? Okay, so you're taking away the value.
Oh, man. Now, that's a beautiful concept there. Let's go with that for a minute. Now, I see it here. They're going into a New York state of mind here in South Florida. They're building all down these miniature wells. They're making sure you don't have no growth at all, like the ones in, because Florida, where I'm at, on my side of Florida, there's a bunch of farms. Y'all know the Redlands. Just look up Redlands, farmers. And now let me ask you something, Chief, because this is where it gets. Remember I told you about that farming. You think we didn't realize that when our people gave up, of course, the sharecropping concept that we all say is diabolical. But then here's a group being controlled by a drug cartel that's coming in to replace us. So which one do you think
that's
is
correct.
The even? Right. So give me your thoughts on that.
Well, let's get first of all, majority of land in below the first parallel at one time was owned by black Indians or black people.
Right.
We got to look at the flight phase. We had flights of people leaving, going to the north, to Chicago and all of these other places, because the industries was built there and the wealth looked like it was in those places, which would have been Chicago, Ohio, Michigan, and even California at a point in time. So people left their elderly people back here struggling with low funding to maintain property and went to the north to work for the big dealerships and make money.
Right.
Okay. While that was happening, the big dealerships were coming down this way, purchasing the property from their people or swindling them out of it. Those same black people that went to the inner city most of them went to a ghetto, from one ghetto to another one. I'm like you, they need to watch some of these videos, dry bones. So you left from a country ghetto to go to a city ghetto.
Right.
Because, and in the process, you broke the family ties and link. Okay.
Right.
The house of Jacob could have, look, the house of Jacob could be rich. But if the house of Jacob divides and become lost. So here we repeating the house of Jacob.
Oh, go ahead, sister. Talk. You're doing that. That's what
so
I'm doing.
The house of Jacob still trying to find out who is the Hebrew people. And now we have created who is the people that originally came from below the 31st parallel from the house of Jacob. And now when I'm saying it like this, I'm not telling everybody they know Hebrew. I'm just using that as an example,
right,
because we were family friends.
Using the allegory, and I'm asking this because there's a lot of Native American allegory out there. I looked up some of the stories.
So now here we got people who was already lost. Well, yeah, people who was already lost, okay, in time through slavery and shipping around and Trails of Tears, finally built what we call Black Wall Street. And I wish black leaders stopped making the only Black Wall Street in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Thank
Black Wall Street was wherever black people did business together.
That's
okay.
Right. There's a whole bunch of Black Wall Street. Sure was. Not just one.
So,
there's a whole bunch. Yes, it was.
Because I come from a Black Wall Street. Okay? I'm a product of a Black Wall Street. So when I say black, am I eliminating being an Indian? No. I'm using the classification, not the race. Okay?
Right.
So we got to understand when we're talking black and white, we're talking classification. We're talking Choctaw, African, Hispanic, or whatever. We're talking race. And we get caught up in these words, okay? So let me go a little further because I want to get to this. It's very important.
Go ahead.
Being that you lost several times. So when a lot of these people moved to, like, Chicago, Michigan, Ohio, they was ashamed to tell people where they come from. I don't understand it because they all came from the salt being poor and misused. But when they went north, they began to wear their fur coat, drive their car, and then they didn't drive a car. I take that back. They drove a car. You know, so they went up there, they changed how they said car, and they come back home. But they didn't tell you everything that was going on up there, because a lot of them was up there living on welfare, too. Okay? They were just living on city welfare versus country welfare. Country
there
welfare didn't have sick and project housing.
Right.
City project. And you had food stamps, and you had housing. But they didn't move up. They actually moved to a point where they cut off the history getting to their children from the past. It takes a village to raise a child. When you remove your child from the village, you remove your child from the moral standards of that family, okay, and foundation. A family that stays together, prays together, stays together. So we begin not praying together because we didn't see each other. I got cousins I didn't get to grow up with because they were living in another state. So the white man was smart and the black man. See, y'all got to remember, they got black billionaires out there, too. You always want the white man that's rich. Got some black ones that's rich. Their industry is to make money. And to make money, they need our labor. So they began to market people. I was looking at a thing a while back. Everybody, go look at How to Be Wales. She asked people and lured people to move to Chicago for a better life. So when they moved to Chicago, what about grandma and grandpa trying to keep that 160-acre farm going?
So you saying, hold on. So let's go with that because, you know, I take it to another level. So do you think that the Ida B. Wells, that they want us to always worship during these black history, what I call ritual time frames, to worship somebody who said, leave the real riches and come to industrial urban renewal, where we can industrialize you into a new concept other than agriculture. So do you think that was a process of killing agriculture based on the fact that she might
have... Well, being that Ida B. Wells suffered so many things as a woman leader, I'm not going to say what she did was intentional. I'm going to say at that time, she thought that was giving people a better way. And I think she thought people were going to those cities, made the money, and sent some back home to save what they had. But selfish moved in. You know, when we start making it become, you understand? I don't think she meant for them to abandon the elders, but it was a way to bring money back south. Okay.
Now
that didn't happen.
Now let's go with that because I'm here in South Florida. I'm in the 31st parallel. I'm under with the group that actually produced the 31st parallel. Their offsprings or their progeny is still the most prevalent in the lower, let's say the 305. That is the Vatican Spanish Jesuit order is here. I don't care what y'all think. You told me, say, Augustine.
Oh, they in here. They're here.
Okay, let's go there because we're about to go to high noon now. We passed high noon. Let's get hot. So you told me to look this up. I looked it up. And I started to see the same principles that I was learning, that these European blacks, that's because they were under noble knighthood. Yes, they were.
Yeah.
So they come over here looking black and speaking a New World Order language that is universal, because New World Order means global. So they became able to global a language to be able to do trade over here. So if they was able to do trade over here with the indigenous has some concept of this, obviously, because we see that y'all got, we got mound cities. The Mississippi is our Nile Valley. We about to get high. I want you. We got all the arteries of a beautiful financial system. We got the Great Lakes where I'm from. We got Everglades. We got everything that needs to be sustainable. So actually, do you think that these same groups that able to take a group of the indigenous to make them believe they was actually African, that never left? So let's just take this premise, and then you don't have to agree with it, but let's just look at it as a debate. Let's just say that they lied so good that ain't that many Africans is even here at the time that they claim. And remember, the story is they took us back, they took the indigenous black people first back to Salamanca and Cordoba, Islamic slave camps first, to show these people that they found, because why would you invest in something if you ain't find no people? So they had to show we found people. Now the investment comes in. Now they got a group, they are psyched up to go over there to show that we found people. Now they come back, now they missionize with a missionary, but they now are the same people that they came from, but they've been cloned differently. Now, do you think that concept could lead to us being deceived, like the Bible story of Esau and Jacob, where we deceived, they used deception to take a birthright? So basically, and I'm asking you, is, do you think these stories of the Bible got more ramifications than we think? Because look at that same scenario was used on us. We take y'all back.
I believe the Bible is one of the best written books that's out there that people need to read, because I'm going to tell you why. Everything from finding the treasures to everything, the black and white European used the Bible against us. That Bible wasn't written for black folks to go to church and have a mega church. The Bible was written for the white man to use it as a GPS like we do today.
Right. A guide.
Okay?
A guide. That's right. Like a guide stone. Okay, like a guide stone. Now, I'm asking because you've been through. Now, when you got that proclamation, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, Clinton gave it to you, right? I mean, let me go back.
When I got my first award for my work, it came from the Census Bureau for my work that I had done from 1980 up until 2000. That was a long time fighting. I went out and physically recount districts that was undercounted by getting together a group of people, young and old, and going door to door counting the household and ran my own census.
That's the way we did.
I did a census and went back to the Justice Department and showed them the count that I had versus the count that was delivered. And they actually, it helped us to open the door to get an accurate count and the first minority-majority district. Now, when I see the word minority, minority is not a people of a total. Minority is the population within the census. If you're the lesser of that area, the secured area. So minority districts can be made up of people of color who would not have representation, or something Jesse Jackson used to say, a lot of taxation without representation. because of the color of their skin. So when I see minority, I don't see that being the lesser. It's the minority based off of the reapportionment that the Europeans had already done, leaving you where none of the congressional money was being counted to come to your community. So I wanted stuff to come to our community. And I will tell you, I can see some more, but I will tell you, after receiving and fighting from 80 to 2000, I did see streets paved, lights coming in. I saw some changes. Not enough, but I saw some. So I do know it worked. I had people like national leaders like Reverend James Orange, Ted Quant, all these people joined hands with me, with Reverend Alexander, to help make whatever change came here possible. At one time in the 80s, there were not no Section 8 housing. So people were forced to live in the substandard condition that they was forced to live in. So I don't know if it was a good thing I fought to bring Section 8 in or a ban, because there's people moving to Section 8 housing.
Let's go there. Because I want you to realize how relevant what you did earlier to set the stage for what we got now. Because Section 8 is a big issue in most of these Democratic areas, because it actually represents this new universal income where the state will take care of you other than yourself. So it kind of like, it sounded good. I'm looking at your area where, yeah, because you look at our people being so poor that now they want to come in, but they coming in is based off what? Now I'm going to tell you what I see here. You tell me what you see in your area, and I'm going to bring some of y'all in here. Now the government funding is primarily, if you are actually, this is not an indictment against any group, but they have a refugee state. That means, like you said, exile state. America has now become an exile state where you can leave wherever you at that's in exile that you hate, you come here. Now, y'all just heard her say what we've been saying about your immigration. Now, Chief, under real, what you would consider Native American law or indigenous law, you think it's good to let everybody in your occupied space, or you think that would be pretty much damaging for a group of people?
Okay, let's be historical.
Let's go with that.
All these Europeans came here, and actually, it didn't help the Indian community. It wiped them out.
Right, right.
It made you bring about other people's cultures that you're going to have to adopt into your culture. So when you start losing your culture, you begin to lose your foundation and your moral respect for your fellow brothers and sisters from what your people raised you with. So I must say, there's fears where you say stop. We can't go to these other countries, you and I, and buy a piece of land and a house. I just
right.
don't understand how people come to America and buy a piece of land and a house. Okay?
Not just a piece of land. They buy up the whole county because it's impossible to tell me. I'm going to just be honest with y'all right here, because this is where we got to look at this dynamic two-year. I mean, we got the midterms coming. Midterms, according to what I'm going with on the occult. I love the occult, Chief, the mystical side. The occult seems like we got to go through travail, which is a birthing process. It looked like the midterms election is going to be a birthing process of where we're going to have an illegitimate birth where it's premature, or we're going to have a full birth. I need you to tell me as a woman, because according to all this occultic and these mystical science of all, it seems the women power is at a high now. The feminist power, the feminine energy that we've been hearing about for all these years. What do you see the woman, especially, and you tell me, correct me if I'm wrong, I was told by looking up some of the records that they could not even get land without the women's permission. Some of these people that came over here from the European perspective, the women
that's
had
why
to tell
the
Europe, them,
that's why ahead. The European, that's why the European men married Indian women. That's why you hear people say my grandma was an Indian, because
right.
your grandpa most probably was a black or white European, and to have access to the land, he married an Indian woman that gave him access to the land. She
there
have children, it's his offspring, the rights to the land. Okay,
right there you go.
So
the land was all. So let's go with the premise, because you might have to come on a few more times, because this is not going to make it in one show. So the female principle is based off the birthing of the offspring of the land. So
let me do this.
Yeah.
It's only two things can multiply. Mm-hmm. Mother Earth produced the trees, the flowers, and everything that's on it, including keeping life for us. And the next thing that produced is the mother from the womb. A man cannot deliver nothing but some trouble. A woman produced life. So to wipe out a woman or confuse a woman's mind is to destroy a nation. So if you got a weak women, you got a weak nation. So the Europeans came to make the women's mind weaker or put them under laws to put them where they were silent.
Now, a woman didn't
have a right to do nothing.
Let me ask you a question. Because of what you told me, look up, I noticed that there's a secret society of women who is actually behind most of this. Because, again, look at the woman that you heard earlier when she said she was in slavery. The white woman knew it was wrong, but she went along with it anyway because she was the offspring of these people she produced. So she knew she had produced a psychological depraved individuals that will rape a five-year-old, like these people that this woman said, Louisiana May. Let me get her name right. May Louise Miller. I love that woman. That woman went through a lot to give an interview in 2009.
Look, if we're talking about child molestation,
go ahead.
We could go back from when the white man and the black man, European, both of them come here raping Indian women or Indian children. Okay?
Right.
That could be for years.
Right.
You didn't start seeing these laws come to play until after the removal of slavery. Why? Because now they don't want nobody raping their women and children. Okay.
Right.
The fear is
right.
Most laws that is put together out of fear.
Let me ask you something because me and you talk a lot. Now I've been telling black folks that they got the whole story wrong, because the actual slaves that was first were slaves under Miles, the Slavic people.
That's right.
So we already lying to ourselves by pretending that we were enslaved.
It's not to convince you and keep repeating the story to you repetitiously. After a while,
right,
you begin to sing the same song. Okay?
Right.
So,
there you go.
I've been saying for years, let me go back to the story that people tell. The beginning of mankind is the African continent, right? Okay.
Right.
If all men come from Africa, then everybody are African-American or African-Chinese, whatever country you're in, if that's the fact. I never could understand why are we the only people that, and especially the Indian community or the black community as a whole, have to identify our genealogy that they knew they removed. Okay? If you ask the average white person tell you about their history, they can't go back three generations.
Right.
But
right,
those white people tell you, you got to tell me, now you done been through a nightmare of destruction, and they're going to tell you you had some papers on the trail with you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Thank you. Now, that makes sense. Now, I'm going to bring some of y'all in. Okay, hold on, sister. We're getting close to the hour. I got to make sure I'm going to bring everybody in. I want y'all to be respectful because we're going to play. I want to be getting close to the hour. The internet will close off. I got everybody. Let me get a few of y'all in. Put yourself on mute. If I hear any noise, I'm going to bring this person in. If I hear any noise, I'm going to take you right out immediately because we ain't got time to play. Okay, I want to hear the noise from you. You knew. 7696. Let me hear if I hear noise from you. We're gone immediately. Okay, keep yourself on mute. I want y'all to be able to ask questions of Chief, because this is actually a living icon who actually went through so much to get that recognition of an actual tribe. And y'all, I know many of us take it lightly. I don't know why, but we do. Chief, I want you to listen to something right quick. It's brief. This is an AOC, Alexandria Cortez. I hate to say that she did an interview in her early days. This is what some people from Switzerland, I want your view first. If I hear you, if I find y'all making noise, I'm going to take everybody out. Somebody making noise. You better mute yourself. I said you can be on here, but you can't. Okay, let me find out because you ain't listening. I'll find you. Yeah, if people make noise, I'm going to take everybody out because of this. I've got Chief in, but y'all going to be gone then, because if somebody making noise, it don't need to make sense until I find who it is. That could be the person's play. They want you to not be. Now, Chief, you hear? Chief, you can hear me, right? Go ahead, Chief.
I can hear you clear.
Yeah, don't worry about it. I'm going to get them out of here. I'll take everybody out. We'll do it. I ain't got no problem with that. See, people don't want you on. See how black people work? Now, they know they're making noise. And that's why I say, now, this is all AOC. I guess it must be only you. This is AOC. Hold on. This is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, a Spanish Puerto Rican who they voted out of New York State, which is a socialist state. This was at one of her meetings. I'd like to hear from you, what you think why she would have a meeting with people saying is a big meeting with a bunch of people there. Tell me what you think about this, and then we'll start the
program.
We're
not going to be here for much longer because of the climate crisis. We only have a few months left. I love that you support the Green Deal, but it's not getting rid of fossil fuel. It's not going to solve the problem fast enough. A Swedish professor saying, we can eat dead people, but that's not fast enough. So I think your next campaign slogan has to be this. We got to start eating babies. We don't have enough time. There's too much CO2. All of you, you're pollutants. Too much CO2. We have to start now, please. You are so great. I'm so happy that you're really supporting the Green Deal, but it's not enough. Even if we would bomb Russia, we still have too many people, too much pollution. So we have to get rid of the babies. That's a big problem. Just stopping having babies is not enough. We need to eat the babies. And this is very serious. Please give a response.
Okay, thank you. No, thank you. Thank you. We'll go ahead. Okay.
Chief, that is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the one of these so-called progressives that's in the Democratic Party, which I find to be unbelievable.
That don't even sound human. That don't even sound human.
Right. No, this is real. I actually found the clip it was live. I went and caught it by accident. I never knew it existed. This woman was in Switzerland. She went to Switzerland with that Greta white girl to talk about killing people for carbon tax. Now, I'm going to ask you something. Don't you find that our people, black people, are like promoting this agenda that is not even making sense to their survival? I mean, anytime a woman could go on a political show, a political platform and say we need to eat babies, and she's still popular today, what's your take on that as being not just a woman, a chief, a warrior, to hear that? They got a platform that our black people are actually promoting. Most blacks promote this woman. They watch her. What's your take of that?
First of all, she sounds sick to me, okay?
Yes, yes.
I'm a mother and a grandmother. My prayers is, please, Lord, let my children have a safe life and do better than we did. But for a person to say, take the baby and eat it.
Yeah,
we got to start being mindful of who we are supporting when we are voting. What is their moral stand? We got to start exercising when these people talk stupid like this and they've been elected. We got to exercise our right to remove that person by signing petitions and petition those type leaders out of the seat. Okay? We're not using some of the laws that was put under the Constitution. We have a right to recall leaders.
Right.
How many recalls have
redress.
You heard?
It's called redress. Redress. Now, California has some. California has done redress. But I'm asking you as a whole, the black community seems to be complicit to anything that it goes down. Ain't no redress with the black community. Hey, if they say eat your ass to death, if they think, hey, I'll get a check out of it, see, like they go along with it. Now, you tell me.
I'm going to say the same thing about abortions or Roe versus Wade. Because if the law don't make it right, okay?
Right.
It was a legal law to enslave another human being. Was it right?
Right?
Okay? So some of these laws need to be turned around.
All right. Well, like, oh, go ahead. Which one? Give me one.
I was attacked by black people and white people. They tried to destroy me on the Internet. You know it. Why?
And
they say, look, color of her skin. Look at her hair.
Right.
Well, okay. Look at the color of the skin and the hair of the Indians that was on the supposedly Trail of Tears. The Indians that's there.
Some of them got nappy head dreads, like dreadlock Rasta. See, now, one thing about Marley, I'm going to say, he told you, Buffalo Soldier, dreadlock Rasta. They couldn't cut their hair. They in war. So I go to show you that they gave you the description, but y'all took it as something else.
Let me show you. I come out years ago asking the black community to help the Indians who helped the blacks. Okay?
Right. Right.
And I got attacked, and then everybody went organized, some fake tribes and running around changing their name, confusing the issue. I still wonder who paid them to confuse the issue when I was trying to educate people to the facts.
Now, you showed me that. Now, I'm glad you brought that up. Hold on. I'm glad you brought that up. Now, let's take some calls. Now, I want y'all to listen. I got 1-877. I got 3364. I brought y'all in to those I know. 6661, I brought you in. I got 1300. Some of y'all are making too much noise. What happened? Hello? Are y'all with me?
I'm with you.
I'm here.
Okay.
I know you.
Go ahead.
Some remedies, what we need to do. Because I know you've been attacked and you went up against the Never Brothers and all that. But don't, on that internet thing, you might have some robots and shit problems attacking you too, because I know how this system works. But we want to know how to get out of this, what we got to do to get out of this. We know all the problems now.
Good question.
So we
good
know
question.
Who we are. We want to know what we got to do to get out of this right here.
I want you to
understand me, brother. I appreciate that a million. And I can put like whoever attacked me didn't attack me on their own. There was something behind that. Like, it was something behind Dr. King assassination. Something behind Malcolm X assassination.
Right.
I had
to take a break and look at what was coming at me. So when I come back knowing who my enemy was. But let me explain this to you all. I didn't get federally recognized, I wanted to get this correct, by no president of the United States or by the BIA. My people never was. We once were recognized. We never stopped functioning the way we are, so the government still function with us as who we are. Y'all with where I'm at?
Yeah. Now, I want y'all to know.
I was state agency, federal agency. I'm not looking for a handout, okay? I just wanted to take the iron and the cornstalk off my back, okay?
They took all y'all. I want y'all to know something. I'm having a problem here. Now, normally, I'll be able to see all y'all numbers on here. All y'all numbers are gone. There's like the whole show just went out without y'all even having numbers. Now, usually your numbers will stay. So I don't know, but I need y'all, but not being able to see y'all, to be cognizant that we don't talk over each other in this era. Because I want y'all to be able to ask some questions. Hold on. Let me try to do this. Okay. I want y'all to be able to ask some questions.
9857 here.
Answer that question.
Brother, I'm going to answer you now. How we come out of this is we got to retreat. Okay. In our retreat, we need to be re-educated, okay? When we get re-educated to the real facts of what's been used against us, then we can return, okay?
Right. I agree. Retreat and reevaluate where our positions are at.
That's right.
Okay,
now,
hold on. Let me tell you. Hold on.
Now we got to turn to each other.
Hold on. We got more calls.
And not only each other.
Right, there you go. But hold on, I want you to get more calls. I heard somebody say, Brother Luck, is that you out there? Your voice sound familiar? Go ahead. That's you. Go make a question, because I know I can't see nobody. If for some strange reason, all y'all numbers are gone.
Yeah, it's me. It's me.
Go ahead.
Well, anyway, powerful expression from the sister. My only question is that at some point there has to be some type of amnesty clause approach to bring the unification going, because there seems to be so many divides to get to the point where you can go back. And what is the sister doing to build bridges instead of going into the offensive or defending attacks? There should be some type of gathering of like minds to say, hey, let's have an amnesty amongst ourselves, and then we move forward. What she think about that?
Good question.
I did try. That was my first attempt to try to pull us together to get clarity, and it began to be sidetracked. And before I be a part of destruction, I stopped and worked things through its course to return, okay?
Right.
I was trying to bring us together. I'm the first person to begin to fight out there on the internet about black Indians. So, you know, I did try. If I wouldn't have started what I did years ago, we wouldn't be having this conversation today, because it didn't exist.
Right, because most people just
you wouldn't
not
have
know.
Had black Indian pictures. You wouldn't have had black Indian pictures flooding the internet if I wouldn't have been trying to bring us together under knowledge back then, which brought about what
Oklahoma.
We see today.
Now let me ask you, Chief, because Oklahoma, based off that particular part of history, so much history, because we got Iroquois, we got the Delaware, we got so many. My question to everybody out there is, let's just say this for the sake of an argument: if black people, period. Is aware that this is a travesty, all I ask, or anybody with sense would say, I can't shoot up the Indians, but I sure can stop their money game. Just think of all black folks that know that this don't make no sense. Stop going to the casinos for a whole month. You know how much they be begging
that's
y'all?
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about.
They will be begging y'all without even shooting a weapon. Because money is the weapon. They know
that's
that
right.
you've been systematically believing that you got to go to these places. Now they figured it out, so they said, "Well, hey, they got us on like we're gonna do it like animals." But see, that's why the lady said they treat us like farm animals. Where a farm animal gonna do what it does daily? Wait for you to feed it. If you don't feed it, oh well, it may die off. But they looking at people thinking. So if you say yourself, the Native American Indians. In 2002, y'all, I'm talking only 2002, 2009, of all this being found out, and y'all still believe in the same party. And I'm going to tell you about Bush. We did plenty of shows on George W. Bush. They from Germany. They was part of the Nazis. Everybody should know this by now. It's just common knowledge. But the fact that y'all seem to, like, use the wrong analogy because the news told you this. Now, Chief, let me ask you a question now. So this is a big election coming up. Not telling people to vote for Trump. I just look at facts. Facts show me anytime a white man will come on national TV and tell a white person that you ain't no Native American, you look nothing like the original, ain't that like a clue to you to wake up like, hey,
well, let me answer that one two ways.
What's your take on that?
One, the man did do that. You can't, political party blinding stuff. Now, I'm not a Trump supporter, but Trump laid down facts that even Biden haven't stated. I'm not Democrat nor Republican anymore.
Right.
And I've been a part of either party. Okay?
Me too.
So
I'm independent.
My thing is, the Democrat and the Republican need to come coating us as people of color. And they need to make deals with us like they make with the Hispanic communities and so on. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
They lobbyists together, though. We won't lobby together. We don't know. We need a convention to find out what race we are because all of us want to be something different. Yes,
now, that would
came
be,
here.
Hold on. So just think about how ingenious this would be and how bold. If we was even throw a party of who we are. Now, I've seen something that I've seen on a lot of shows. Some of these people that you've been on your show, Dan Calloway and a group of other people who it's another guy who does out of St. Louis that Brother Detail sent me a lot of information on. He actually goes in the records. Now, he admitted, this man admitted, that what we call brunette, y'all, just a simple term, brunette, you think it means hair. It means skin color.
Yes, it does.
So we found out that many of the presidents had brunette wives. Y'all go look it up. I'm not gonna keep giving y'all.
But what about this one? What about this one? I hear black leaders say this, and professors and everybody else. They olive complected, and I'm looking at some Italian looking person or some Cajun looking person. Come on, olive complected. I ain't never had an olive on my pizza look like what they call olive complected.
Right.
Olive complected meant black.
Right.
Olive is green.
Yeah,
and when
black.
It's not white, then it's black. When it's white,
yeah. Now let me ask you a question about that because I need for us to understand something because just maybe because you brought it out, the story would be unbelievably hard for them to keep this going if we know that black folk were the main ones counting us. So I looked at this term called the boule, which is a French term which had a lot to do with what we learned today with the Haitians. They love the French. It ain't no way we're gonna even tell me a Haitian don't love the French people. That's impossible. All I can say is this. If the French told you that they were called the Boule, advisor to the kings, which I give a lot of credit to that being told to us, then we got to say, well, what group came? You told us, you should be, I'm going to tell you, Chief, you should be vindicated. You need to write your memoirs. You said black Europeans did this. And the man just told me today he watched Django for the first time, who represents a black European who was brought to light by a German European, who is the same as the Black Knights. Now, Chief, we got to go to somewhere. This is why I think you are so prevalent right now in history.
I want to say something right quick, and with permission of a person that's here. And I'm going to send you that picture.
Right.
You know Noreen, my chief aide. Now,
go ahead.
Okay, she's been around with it for a while. You might hear me talk about she's in the background. Okay, Noreen is here. Her family has a family reunion online. Okay? Now, Noreen on her grandfather's side, because they came here with the church as Sicilians. They were the keeper of the church. They come here, her family come here as nuns and family of the nuns. All right?
Right.
I've been telling her for years, go study y'all history. Y'all, all the black Europeans married into us. Now, I have a cousin and a chief aide standing by me. I'm going to send you her crescent that her family gave to her this week. You didn't hear me say her crescent? Okay.
Her crescent. I'm hearing you. Because you're the crescent state.
She's a Sicilian. And her grandfather was underneath a king who honored their family, the Scalzi, with a symbol of them and his worthiness, you heard what I'm saying, to his master, which
That's
is
right.
the king. So
right.
her family comes from a family whose grandfather was a knight to the king.
To the king. There you go.
Now, here in Louisiana, she's considered, which she now don't want to be considered that, she's considered by some of her cousins and her family fault to be that, or Creole. Okay? She got two-part Indian, one part on her mom's side, one part on her dad's side. But on her mama and her daddy's side, they come from being black Europeans. Let me introduce y'all to a black European who came and learned under chief. And she do know now she my Indian cousin partly. And I tell her sometimes, don't let your European junk come up in here on us, because all this war horse will come out on you. Okay? Because I know what you're capable of doing. I love you, but I got to keep an eye on you. You're going to hurt me not trying to hurt me because your culture brought you up to think one way. Okay? Your culture is a conquering culture, and it comes from her mothering side. Did y'all get me? That came from out the womb.
Hold on. Because you said something. So the mothering side, which is the nurturing side, which I told you what I heard today where that woman said, the white woman said, don't do it, but she went along with it. So you say that the women of that era that watched this type of slavery, let me ask you a question. It's going to be tough because Louisiana was actually well known for the prostitution, well known for
things. Her people yeah. wait, that same cousin, one of her grandfathers historically is more thought as the man who brought the brothel here for the king.
That's amazing. Because I know. I said, man, I said, well, this is the capital